Productions. Recorded live.
Greetings, ogling, wigger, and man's ass clowns across the fruited, and that is Zog Plain in the open air, coast to coast, nut house. We call Zog Babylon, the third and the final. But this show, as always, is aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. And by the way, yes, we're going to have a, we're going to go ahead and have a Jew boy or a Kurdish Jew boy from, infesting Sweden, Joe Blow from Kaikomo, pretty well logging in. And rather than go ahead and put up with it, I'm just going to go ahead and just block any of its sock puppets that I see acting up. And pretty well, if you're a guest number after 8 here, blame the Nimtars for this stupid shit. Anyway, tonight was the 23rd of September, 2012, and it's what, 8:45, 8:46, Granby, Uncentral, Unstandard Time, which is usually about the time I go ahead and start the show. It's always 15 minutes late. A good fashionable, I guess, 15 minutes late. In any case, tonight's show is called Visergate and the Outing of the Sundry Jew and Mamzer CI Bail Priest. Now, pretty well everything settled down on the, on the internet radio front. That was what was dominating the past 2 weeks. Pretty well, voice of retards imploding as their Zogbot or Jew funding went ahead near dried up, or the little Jew-tards in charge got tired and pretty well left here. And then it was between, she thought, Carolyn Yeager, a.k.a. Old Finkelsteiniac Pickle Cunt, and Greg Johnson of Countercurrents, the new right faggots from San Francisco. And essentially, Greg, you got all the little intellectuals who, well, pretty well, they all look down upon us hicks and sticks and fly over country anyway. And essentially, the intellectuals are a bunch of faggots in many cases here, if mentally, if not really, physically. And, hey, things sort of settled down. And I'm sort of looking at Carolyn Yeager. She's sort of whining about how she is pretty well, she's pretty well banned and censored on, pretty well Greg Johnson's after all the crap she pulled. And pretty well, nobody really wants the old skank around. And she's whining about that. Last time I noticed, she had another bull dyke on the show yesterday, a new feminist or something like that. And, folks, you avoid such new feminists if you have anything smart on the ball. But anyway, the Visser's really been, the Pisser Possum Hide has really been, okay, look, Brian Anthony Rio, you've been acting up here. I know you're a Nimtard. I'll be keeping an eye on you. Okay? Not more forum junkies. Okay. Well, what happens is Robert Stark, a half-Jew Michelin, goes ahead and interviews Merlin Miller, and I was listening to Merlin Miller. He's just some wigger fucktard who went through West Point, and three of his four, split-tail daughters went ahead, and they went through West Point. And essentially, all he is just a evil empire-like fucktard. That's all he is. That's all the critter is. So do you worry about them? Nope. Not if you have any sense. Okay? And, I'll go ahead and cover that. Mo Gullet, I went ahead and looked from the side. Anchorage activist went ahead and brought that you had about a dozen or so South African activists. Mo Gullet wasn't one of them. But pretty well, what he had is he had four or five people in blue shirts. One of them looked like a nigger. The other, I think, was Jeremy Parker, and he looks like an Anglo mestizo or a Mamzer of some sort. And then you end up having of the rest, pretty well some obviously fat Anglo mestizos. You had Monica Stone. She looks like she might have something in her woodpile. And you have her tall, goofy-looking husband. And pretty well, Moskalet has been able to go ahead and get more of the Howard Grooms estate in order to pretend to be the Aryan Nations. He's a Southern Poverty Law Center, ADL, Aryan Nations, TARP. And pretty well, here yet, Anchorage activists, said, do we really need to go ahead and have a, quote, rally to go ahead and demonstrate how out of touch, how retarded, how we don't really amount to anything at all? Do we need such a rally at all? And the answer is we don't need any such, really we don't need any such thing. I mean, it looked like he had about a dozen TARDs there, and then you had maybe another dozen or so ARA activists who spent the time there. Folks, there was nobody in Congress there. What they did is that they did all of 12 days, quote, work since August and September, they did all of 12 days work, and then they adjourned till after the selections. Essentially, they're there to go ahead and make sure that they show up for debates, that they go ahead and collect money, they go ahead and beg like whores for votes. And essentially, they're not going to show up till after the selection. Meanwhile, the Jew Bernanke, in his quantitative easing number 3 or 4, I'm not quite sure which, but essentially, he just simply said he's just going to print money. He's just going to print money until, I guess the economy collapses in order to save, Obongo. Now, tonight, we on 60 Minutes, I was looking a little bit, although I missed most of it. It was mainly a damn nigger ball game. Some nigger ball team, a.k.a. football team, going ahead and playing around. And pretty much nothing of any effect got accomplished at all. So I'm looking. Papa Cat, you always show up. You always show up to where everybody thinks you're the Fed. And you probably are, but we don't worry about it here. I'll sort of look at the chat here. In any case, Mo Gullet is pretty well running a Zog false front. Generally, he's gotten out of prison, and he's gone ahead and set himself up as Aryan Nations, even though he was kicked out by Ray Redfern in the 90s several times and never allowed back in Butler. And pretty well, that wasn't the reason I went ahead and saved his church twice. And Pastor John Britton saved his church once. He was supposed to go ahead and actually be a CI minister with his own little quiet church and not be recruiting niggers and mamzers into the new Aryan Nation / Niggers of Islam auxiliary, running around whining over wiggers from South Africa who voted to kill themselves. I'm not surprised at what happened in South Africa. I've noticed among Christian identity, so-called Boer women, is that about every single one of them wants to cut Paul out of the New Testament because of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I think 34 through 35, about women not getting to boss men and not getting to go ahead and run a church service. So as a result, I've never seen a South African Boer woman who claims to be CI who actually wanted to obey the main tenets of Christian identity. And we're not talking just about Paul. We're talking about Genesis 3:14, where he says, look, because you went ahead and usurped the prerogative of your husband, you will be under his dominion. Now, she was supposed to be under his dominion to begin with. So essentially, she usurped. And she went ahead and screwed around with Satan and presented Adam with a little Jew kid, the first Jew, Cain. And So Yahweh deliberately put women under men. It's not just something that Paul dreamed up. Paul, many was the time here, he would go ahead and quote the law. Now, when you're talking about red letters in the Bible, there's also the capitalized letters, which are essentially where the prophets and the writings and the law was requoted. And Paul was a Pharisee. He was a Benjamite. He was not a Levite. And so he had already usurped some of the prerogatives when he was running around as a hitman for the Pharisees, killing Christ's church until he got turned on the road to Damascus. But here it is. You go ahead and you see a South African skank, Monica Stone, who looks like she is something in a woodpile, along with Gillette. And essentially, they're whining about what could have easily been seen by anybody who thought as to what would happen when a bunch of you idiots vote to turn yourself to, turn your government around to the niggers. What should have been done is if the world is whining about niggers, what they should have done is just machine gun down all the bad niggers, all the indifferent niggers, and then put the good niggers on their own freaking reservations and ended it. Gone ahead and developed nuclear weapons. They were working on it. They had the material. They had the uranium. They had the scientists to go ahead and create nuclear weapons, and they should have done that, but no, they voted to die. So I don't have any sympathy for idiots who go ahead and vote to die. Quakers, you vote to die. Guess what? Yahweh ain't going to save you. Yahweh is not going to save you for violating his law. He's going to let you die. And until Quakers go ahead and learn that the only way to have peace is to go ahead and kill all the Jews and all the Muds and all the Quaker race traitors, exterminate them all, there's not going to be any change. What we're headed to is a great tribulation which will settle this ship once and for all. And that's what this show is about. Not going ahead and running around like a bunch of tars with Zogbots and Jews and Mamzers. I went ahead and looked. I went ahead and looked at an avatar, Jeremy Visser, that I took from a YouTube video made about Feast of Tabernacles in October 2008. And Visser don't look white. Visser looks like an obvious Anglo-Mestizo. And what has come up during the last week over on Nimbusters is that somebody went ahead and took this email that I went ahead and posted complete, unabridged, on my webpage on February 20th of this year, where Sean Aaron Visser simply says, look, I'm a Melungeon. Jeremy Visser is my full-blood brother. Yes, I have a Puerto Rican wife. Yes, I'm a Cherokee and other things here, a.k.a. Melungeon Jew. And as a result, this is what we are. I want you to go ahead and take down the Facebook page pictures that you got of my family. And the answer is no, I'm not, because, well, look, you supposedly were the admin for a while, and don't pretend that you just found out those pictures. What happens is that you don't want to play Christian Identity anymore while being a Mamzer. Neither did Victor Switzer. For a while, neither did Jeremy Visser. When he got in trouble for stalking, he went ahead, essentially, I'm not Christian Identity. I'm not Aryan Nations. Hell, I'm not even white. Look at my Mamzer brother. I'm taking down Covenant People's Ministry. I'm taking down the forums because I want Google Cash to go ahead and die down for 60 days. It wasn't quite 60 days. And he went ahead and got on the Moomin turd and admitted that that Sean Aaron Visser was his full-blooded brother, even though I gave him a chance to weasel out. So here I am, last weekend, last Saturday night, over on Elias, I get muted. Pretty well at the request of Eli James for saying, truthfully, that Jeremy Visser is a Melungeon. He's a Mamzer. So are most of the people listening to you, Eli James. Get muted. Yesterday night, I not only go ahead and get muted, here's this John Waterman. I call him June Watermamzer of the Watermamzer files. I go over to the Waterman files. And here is this Mamzer, Melungeon, Kike, whatever, running around wanting to be the little Brian Rio now for Eli James. Pretty well what he says is, oh, I got your IP number by you visiting my webpage. Okay, well, that tells me, Jew boy. It tells me, like I will be dying, you are a data miner. That's exactly what, you know, that's exactly what the hell you are. You're a data miner. So why should I dick with you, you fucking idiot? Why should I even bother? You're data mining. But more to the point, you're going to go ahead and pull a Brian Reel on me. With, you know, to go ahead and protect Eli James. But here he is. He's managed through this fraudulent claiming that the ADL took down his webpage. He's now claiming fraudulently that he was taken down by the ADL and it was all together just a, well, just a ploy. And it was just a ploy. Eli James is working with the ADL. He got a stint on Republic Broadcasting Network, and here you have him again, yet again, running around, pretending that I guess he thinks he's fooling somebody. Look, I got you on audio. Admitting that you went ahead and took down all my web pages. Now here you are whining. Now you have this John Waterman threatening to go ahead and try to take down my web page with Mayor Brian Reel. Here's this idiot. He has his own damn web pages. What the hell does he think is going to end up happening? Does he think that his web pages will be safe if he goes ahead and goes after mine? No, Jew boy. You can't go ahead like you Jews have continued to do and essentially destroy the life, the liberty, the property of your host. People are getting wise to you, Jew boys. People are getting wise to Eli James. People are getting wise to Finkelstein. People are very much getting wise to these people. They're not fooling anybody. So essentially, some nimbuster went ahead and found out more about Sean Aaron Visser. And he'll be just like with Steve Brower, a.k.a. Slashing Gilded. Pretty well, Jeremy, you know, Sean Aaron Visser will say, hey, look, Jeremy, I have a job. I don't need to have any blowback about my Mamzer brother, about my, you know, Cherokee, nigger, Jew, full-blooded brother, trying to pretend to be Aryan Nations. I don't need that shit. I really don't. Jeremy, why don't you go ahead and just simply live off of mother like you used to? Go ahead and have your mother-in-law help pay for your kids and stop pretending to be Christian Identity, because if you keep this shit up, I might lose my job. When they find out about the Mamzer who's trying to pretend to be a white supremacist. People won't like this shit. People will go ahead and decide they have had enough of this shit. And I'm going to go ahead and lose my job to keep jacking around, Jeremy. No, I mean, you know, you have Mamzers pretending to be Christian Identity. Folks, people are beginning to learn that. Oh, by the way, over at Nimbusters was Frank Weltner here. He was saying something that he thought was smart, and I think he's right here. Most Wiggers want to die. Most Wiggers do want to die. So you go ahead and you let them. You'll go ahead and try and talk them out of it. Folks, this show, if you learn anything from this, stay away from bowel movement leaders. Stay away from Jews pretending to be Christian identity, Mamsers pretending to be Christian identity. Yeah, Finkelschini, I mean, he found him some wigorous pussy, and I guess he tore it up, and he came back, and he'd had his fun here. Hell, the two, you know, the two previous Rabbi Miles Will Finks had enough of that bastard, and they divorced his ass. I have no doubt he was rather abusive. Well, together, of his four or five spawn, only one of them will have anything to do with them. Most, you know, most people, even though they're mamsers, they realize that there are some people who are so twisted you want nothing to do with them at all. So anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take a break, save the chat, and in about, two or three minutes. That reminds me, Chief Red Possum. Was on there last night on the Nimtard show, the Nimbuster show. I went ahead and spent the first hour and a half pretty well as a guest host on gangsta Bolshevism and pretty well talked to Cave. At least Kane admits to being a fucked up little Jew boy. Now, I think he's a quarter or eighth Jew boy. He screwed up. But on the other hand, he had an interesting conversation for about an hour or so. And then I went ahead and was listening to the Nimtard show over my cell phone. For some reason, I couldn't go ahead and hear anything on Talk to You last night, even though I have four laptops. And today I was having trouble with DNS here, to where I had to go ahead and get out the old $70 gateway with the Tor browser and pretty well get on to my own web page that way. And I noticed that this is sort of unusual. A day and a half ago, the day before yesterday, I broke 500 unique visitors. Now, what happens is that two of them were me, but it was 508. So I had 506. unique visitors yesterday, or a day before yesterday, and it's up from what, 350 average. Now the average is a little bit over 400 average here. The average has gone up to about what, 401 to 412 to 425, and it'll go down because it went down to around 400. Yesterday, it was up to 500. It went down, and when I was looking, you had no less than 80. Visitors or guests here to my webpage. I think they're going ahead and looking to see what was going to be on tonight's show. So anyway, I went ahead and got on the Newskike show, and the Newskike was pretty well yapping. He was trying to avoid me. He had this retarded epileptic faggot here. Some people call him Artie. He's known as the intern. That character is a total retard here, and pretty well he admitted epilepsy. Newskike screwed up yesterday twice. He pretty well mistook what time it was in Iceland, and then when he got annoyed at me and hung up, finished the show and hung up. Well, he didn't hang up. He just went ahead and left the chat, and he left the phone on for about 15 minutes afterwards, which goes ahead and tells you that, no, he's not this one. Someone who has to go ahead and pay international phone charges, even if you have a calling card, even if it's just 3 or 4 cents a minute, what you do is that you are acutely aware of when the phone is on and you are being charged money for it. And Newskike must have waited about 15, 20 minutes here. He's just a Jew from Brooklyn or Queens or whatever. And essentially, he didn't realize that he'd gone ahead and pretty well revealed himself to just being a Jew York City kike twice on that yesterday's show. So anyway, folks, all these critters are pretty well outing themselves And I've noticed that Eliers and Finkelstein's show have fewer and fewer and fewer listeners, because when you end up having somebody like Sword Brother, a.k.a. Brian Real, on, essentially it's sort of hard to go ahead and pretend that you are a white supremacist, that you are Christian identity, you know, when you know full well you're a Mamzer, and you end up being listening to the Hitler worship hour. Well, that's what Carolyn Yeager has just done. She got two little meerkats doing the Hitler worship hour. Hatting the meerkat, she found herself another meerkat. So let's see. This week here, she had some feminist chic bull dyke on Saturday afternoon, and that's pretty well what Carolyn Yeager is reduced to. Pretty well being censored, being kicked out, having nothing but bull dykes. You know, and senile ex-Nazis or, you know, Nazis calling from the nursing home or whatever. Essentially, people are beginning to realize this is a bunch of crap here. I went ahead and seen that Don Black is begging for money again. Pretty well, from what I gather, Spermfront is already paid for out of the department, the paid cash flow of the Department of Zogland Insecurity. But he wants to go ahead and have his kid, Derek, have a little radio AM show here, and that's just a total waste of time. You don't need shortwave, and you don't need an AM radio station or whatever. Internet radio, if you have a good show, is good enough. It's good enough. So anyway, folks, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and then after about 2 or 3 minutes, I'm going to have Logan call in, and we will be back. Folks, hail victory. Okay, folks, I'm going to not wait too much longer for Logan to call in. He'll call in when he gets around to it, I'm sure. Anyway, where was I? Let's see. I pretty well covered the main matter I wanted to go ahead and cover. Let's see if White Nationalist is still down or not. Probably is. So it's not really down here. It's just down as I see it. Okay? Not somewhat of a botheration because the other computer is in the place here. Anyway, you start the Minuteman Gazette here. I mean, why? What I've seen about the militia movement is that originally the militia movement was really not really a movement at all. It was just nothing more, in the case of Missouri, about 8 or a dozen small rural militias with nothing but white men in it. And essentially, it was usually officered by ex-military who were Klansmen or Christian identity. Folks, it wasn't until later Whiggers went ahead and got into the effort and called themselves a constitutional militia. They called themselves a constitutional militia, and they weren't. I mean, essentially, the Constitution did away with essentially people's armies going ahead and being used for purposes of insurrection against these, well, so-called legitimate governments here. Patrick Henry and George Mason were anti-federalists here. They were called anti-federalists. They said that they were the federalists, the real federalists, because essentially they had control of their own sovereign states. They'd gone ahead and conquered or went ahead and fought a colonial war and got rid of the British. They were having their settlers. Hello, Logan.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to take a break, but I didn't know if you were able to keep on talking or not.
Okay. Well, I did take a break here, and it was, the break went ahead and stretched out for about 3 or 4 minutes. So I decided to go ahead and talk. I'll talk about anti-federalists. Pretty well, Patrick Henry, my hero, said that he smelled a rat amongst all these lawyers and masons in Philadelphia. He smelled a rat. And essentially, if you go ahead and look at volume 3 of what's called the Eliot Debates, or the Eliot.
What years are we talking about? We talking about
1787, 1788, to where these lawyers got together and they formed the Constipation, or the Constitution. They call it the Constitution. Yeah. I call it the Constipation. I spell con with a, capital C-O-N. I mean, it was, contrary to Mark Downey and this other little goober they had on them, the previous Friday night. Not this Friday night, but the Friday night before then. It was not set up by Yahweh. Essentially, the founding felons were a bunch of deists and, in many cases, somewhat against religion at all. And I don't mind them being against religion. If you go ahead and have a bunch of bell priests, can you imagine? Can you imagine what a, quote, Christian identity theocracy with the likes of Finkelschini and Brian Rio and Eli James would look like? I mean, it'd just be Jew boys. It'd just be Jew boys and members running wild here. Folks,
who is this John Waterman? I've never heard of him. If you
see. I think he's not one of these Jews here who are, who are playing into being real patriotic or something like that here. He's pretty well the equivalent of Brian Rio for Eli James. He has his own little conspiracy theory radio thing here, and what he tries to do is he tries to go ahead and set his own TeamSpeak thing on his own server. And last night he was just getting that. Well, I went ahead and see your IP number, Linstead. I'm going to go ahead and take down your web pages. And then Eli, you know, I was just going ahead and making fun of Jeremy Visser being a manzer. And pretty much Eli James went ahead and he blocked me for about the second time. So here I did.
This was last Saturday night.
Yesterday night, yeah.
Yeah.
So in any case, what these characters do is Eli James, I have him essentially talking to Fink, gloating about how him and Brian Rio took down all my web pages. Eli James essentially, what he's done is he's gone ahead and used this false ADL takedown of this pathetic little page to go ahead and get on RBN. You know, to go ahead and pretend that here he is. He's a Christian identity patriot who's been taken down by the evil Jews, the ADL, or something like that. Here's his other little Jew-tard, waterman, or as I call him, watermanser, going ahead essentially threatening to go ahead and pull the same stupid shit that he already did on me. So, I went ahead and booted up Toshiba number 2 and started trolling, doing a lot of trolling and getting on and off, and, went ahead and made Eli James concentrate essentially on the trolling that I was doing. Well, that's fine by me, Jew boy. I got 4 laptop computers, and every single one has at least 3 browsers.
You can block all your sock puppets and you keep up on coming up when you sock puppets.
I have hundreds of sock puppets. Essentially, what happens though is that Eli James are going to end up having to be like Finkelshiny. And then you'll go ahead and lose. You'll go ahead and lose the guest here. I mean, what you do is successful trolling is sort of like I call it playing Cossack and Jew Boys, where I'm the Cossack. Okay, the Jew Boys come in, they take over, they go ahead and expel or kill the white population. Then the Jew Boys, they have gone ahead and taken over. But among the expellee is a Cossack who goes ahead essentially goes ahead and just trolls the crap out of the Jew Boys, and they are now locked up in the ghetto. So I call it playing, you've heard of Cowboys and Indians? Well, I call it Cossack and Jew Boys, to where essentially the Jew Boy is locked up on his own, new ghetto, and essentially he can't go ahead and get out. And what I've noticed over the last No, what happens is I was comrade last night. I mean, I.
What about Kane 666? Is he a Jew?
Yeah, he's either eighth Jew. No, he's an eighth or 16th Jew. I mean, he's fucked up in the head. You know what I mean? He'll even admit he's a fucked up little Jew boy. Huh? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If there's any such thing as a good Jew, it's old Kane. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 6, if there is any such thing as a good Jew. Essentially, what happens is that I go ahead and he has a hatred for the Mamzer barrel. I have a hatred for the Mamzer barrel. Essentially, I go ahead and get on, just use it to go ahead and troll and to spy and to go ahead and keep an eye out. He was very good. Is very good about out helping me out this shit colored Mamzer named Intrepid, who me and John Britton called him Gilded, and found out he's Stephen Brower, and old Stephen Brower like called me a convicted child molester, just like Visser does. And so what happens is that I went ahead.
Jeremy Visser. Has he totally given up pretending to be a white nationalist, white identity?
No, Jeremy Visser hasn't here. what happens is his brother, Sean Ehrenbisser, essentially, you know, this last week, a NIMBUster went ahead and took that email that I went ahead and posted from February 20th of this year. Essentially, Sean Ehrenbisser, Jeremy Visser has been all pissed off at him since the summer of 2009 when he married a Puerto Rican woman. He had a Mexican wife or something like that. Either got divorced or she died or something. He had a kid named Serena Meyer, and essentially, you know, she either died or got divorced or whatever. So in 2009, he goes ahead and marries a Puerto Rican woman from California. See, they're originally Indians. They're originally mainly, you know, Anglo-Mestizos, mainly Mestizo Anglos from Georgia, who essentially managed to go ahead and pretend to be white men and didn't have to go ahead and be run off in the Trail of Tears by Andrew Jackson. They, you know, essentially they were able to go ahead and pretend to be white or pass as white so that they didn't, you know, they didn't go ahead and get sent off to Oklahoma. But what happens is that sometime, from what I gather, they had some money. Visser was one of these dumbass Dutchmen, and he married essentially pretty well a red nigger Anglo-Mestizo squaw here, and essentially they moved to California. And here's Jeremy. You know, here he is. They got a new infusion of red nigger blood, and Jeremy, you know, he's 10 years old. He can't leave the little white girls alone at this, you know, Lutheran elementary school, you know, church school.
Yeah.
And essentially, here's the assistant principal saying, you need to go ahead and force this kid on Ritalin so that the little red nigger will go ahead and not bother these little white, you know, you know, blonde, blue-eyed girls here. But you can't go ahead and say it just like that, even though it's, you know, it's still start of political correctness here way back in, what, 1984 or something like that. Well, anyway, what happens is that, from what I gather, they go ahead and dope the little bastard up, and he's still, I mean, it's a matter that the little bastard, he's just like a nigger. I mean, it doesn't matter how much you dope up Tiger Woods or any other nigger, the nigger will still want to go ahead and, you know, screw white women. You know what I mean? You know, now Tiger Woods can say, I'm a sex addict. No, you're just a typical, normal nigger that wants to screw white women. And that's what Jeremy Visser is. And from what I gather, in one of the Pisser Possum Turds, you know, when Jeremy met Bridget the Idiot, he's pretty well talking just like a nigger, going ahead and getting him, you know, scoring him some white pussy. That's exactly, yeah. You know, that's exactly the way it works out here. Well, anyway, what happens is that he was all pissed off. This was in June, July, August of 2009. And essentially, Sci-Fi Faber, you know, who's worked with Hal Turner, had gone ahead and just abruptly banned me from his webpage. I was supposedly working with him. He goes ahead and bans me from his webpage. And I didn't know it, but Jeremy Visser and Sci-Fi Faber were working together to have me booted out by, you know, with Eli James and Hal Turner to go ahead and essentially do some stupid crap like that. And I'm thinking, what the hell's going on? Well, Eli James was part of it. Sci-Fi Faber, you know, he's white, but he's married to a WOP or something like that who obviously does not much care for him playing Christian Identity. You know, and they have a WOP kid. And essentially, here's old Sci-Fi Faber, and he gets all the shit about it. And pretty well, he goes ahead and reveals it was Jeremy Visser's idea. So Jeremy Visser is just nothing more than just a lying, thieving, mamzer criminal. And Jeremy went ahead and told me about Dan Johns being a serial polygamist and carrier of Crohn's and a number of things in early 2009. But what happens, it turns out that Hal Turner is not only a rat, gets revealed a month later. I mean, Sci-Fi just goes ahead and blows up on me on the 18th of June. And this was six or seven days before Hal Turner gets arrested by the feds. So then what? A month goes by, 3 weeks goes by, and Hal Turner's a rat. And then another month goes by, on the 21st, he's not only a rat, he's a agent provocateur. And pretty well, old Visser goes ahead and threatens to put Sci-Fi in jail. And Sci-Fi had gone ahead and given me and other people, including Jeremy Visser, the password and username to his webpage. And I went ahead and downloaded his entire webpage, but I didn't do anything with it here other than try to go ahead and set up his forum. And it turned out that Jeremy Visser went ahead and essentially admitted to taking down Sci-Fi's webpage and then, you know, sort of hinted that he was working for the FBI and you and your skank are going to go to prison just like Hal Turner did, right? And then Sci-Fi had a fit, you know, shit fit about it. So Sci-Fi and Jeremy Visser, you know, pretty well were both two criminals working together to somehow steal my church, and I have no idea how the hell that was going to work out, along with Eli James. And so I'm just sort of kicked back here, and at the time I'm trying to go ahead and get Morse Gillette to renew his church charter for the Church of the Sons of Yahweh so they won't lose the $400,000 or in the Harold Grooms trust fund. I didn't know that his name was Harold Grooms at the time. I just knew he was a dead Nazi that I'd found out 2 years earlier when John Britton asked me to go ahead and investigate the matter. So in any case, over the years, I've gone ahead and, you know, spied, but also I've gone ahead and actually talked to members of the old resistance. The old resistance cannot stand Alex Linder, cannot stand Trader Glenn Miller, cannot stand a number of these people who showed up. I mean, it's not just what I've learned myself. It's also the fact that I have been, you know, I've been in contact with a number of the old resistance, be it Louis Beam, be it, you know, Jim Floyd, be it a number of other people, to where essentially they've told me what they want to be known. You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, that's why pretty well this show is pretty well allowed, is because I have met or, you know, been told by the old resistance, and, you know, some like Alex Linder and Craig Cobb. I've actually met some of these people, Trader Glenn Miller. I haven't actually physically met Visser, but essentially he's a sleazebag. And so as a result, I'm able to go ahead and find out a bunch of this stuff and, you know, pretty well deal with it as it comes here. You understand what I mean? So, in any case, that's what, you know, Visser's brother, essentially, you know, Visser went ahead, he was all pissed off because his brother married another, you know, married a even darker beaneress here who his brother says was a Puerto Rican. They married him, you know, Benovistes or something like that, essentially, and she has a nigger kid named Jasmine. Now, I don't know if it's really Jasmine or not, but essentially, Visser got all upset here, and I got an email, and he called his son, well, my brother is the one who administrates my forum, and he's a real fruit loop ever since he got married. So he calls his brother a race traitor. Well, his full-blood brother ain't a race traitor for marrying a Puerto Rican. He's a Mamzer himself. What difference does it make if he marries a nigger or a Mamzer? But here's Jeremy. He wants to go ahead and pretend that he's white. And what you end up at, what you go ahead and see on his videos, you can see it for himself here. Visser gets older. He gets darker. He gets darker skinned. He gets, you know, more and more and more darker. And if he's going ahead and using meth to where you go ahead and see his skull, you go ahead and see that he's, you know, he's obviously a Mamzer even more so. And what happens is that, you know, pretty well, he's always disappeared because he's a criminal. Like a criminal, he figures out if he lays low, he won't get in trouble. And pretty well on September 7th, he went ahead and said he was going to go ahead and quit Christian Identity. He was going to go ahead and quit the movement here. He was only going to show up for 9-9-09, with Fink and Eli James here, and he did go ahead and show up. He's going to go ahead and quit 2 days before 9-9-09. And by this time, I'm pretty well disgusted with Visser, but you know, I haven't gotten word yet that Gillette has renewed his church charter because essentially Brian Wright, another Melungeon Mamzer with slant eyes, who essentially called Butler and Swift a bunch of Mamzers himself, and Jeremy Visser went along with it. I mean, I haven't, you know, I can't go ahead and I got to keep them occupied to where they're not looking to go ahead and steal the trust fund or try to figure out the trust fund. And they still go ahead and pretend they managed to go ahead and kick out Pastor John Britton. And that Bridget the Idiot is an evil, lying bitch herself here. She, you know, she's a thief, too. She's a thief and a liar and a criminal, too. You know what I mean? I mean, even if she is white, you know, John Britton thinks she's part mongrel. I don't know. You know, I don't know about that, but I do know she's an evil, lying, thieving bitch, you know, who's a fit wife for a criminal, for a criminal manager. Well, what happens is Bridget, I call her Bridget the Idiot. You know what I mean? She didn't used to be a bad looker, but essentially
I thought she had blonde hair, but cork eyes.
She has rather dark eyes too. Here, you know what I mean? So you go ahead and see a number of these. Well, you go ahead and see. You see blonde, blue-eyed women here. Now what happens? They may be blonde, but you know what happens? They have cork eyes, and essentially what they are is that they're high yeller mestizos trying to go ahead and pretend to be, you know, blonde women. You know, blonde.
Look, there's very few natural blondes anyway. Most of your so-called blonde women are dyed.
Well, I know. They're bottle blondes. I call them bottle blondes. They used to call them bottle blondes. I mean, essentially what happens is they use peroxide or whatever to, you know, to dye, you know, to pretty well, you know, bleach their hair. You know what I mean? So you have a number of that going on here. Anyway, What you have is you have Eli James essentially, you know, here's Visser, pretty well all this crap is going down, and Eli James, I mean, he's a Jew boy, but at least he has a bit of loyalty to his fellow Jews who are trying to get in here. It was Fink, that sociopathic Jew boy who essentially turned on Eli James here. But
Fink is back to you, and Eli James, hey, listen, Russ. Even though Scott Vaught admitted he was a mongrel Cherokee, and even though Scott Vaught and Eli James are buddies, Russ is still emailing both of them back and forth. And,
oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know.
What do you want me to do about it?
I told Russ that he was a mongrel. He said, I'm going to call him right now and prove you wrong. Mm-hmm. And then he got it straight from the horse's mouth. Scott Vaught admitted he was a Cherokee mongrel. And, hey, I've never seen Scott Vaught, but when I call him up on the phone, he denied basically all the Bible. He's pushing all this Mary Magdalene, Mary Yeshua stuff, and
yeah,
all this blanket, you know, Judah was all mongrels, and there's no pure, and all Germans mongrels, and all this anti-German, anti-Judah stuff. And, you know, I've never met Scott Vaught. I talked to him on the phone a long, long time ago. He used to be really good friends with Buddy Johnson and them. But everybody that I know that has half a brain that knows what a Jew looks like and that has met Scott Vaught said it, not only was he a mongrel with Cherokee, but he was a part Jew. He looked like a
I wouldn't doubt it.
See.
Russ's Greek woman friend. She went ahead and set, you know, she went ahead and chewed on Russ's ass about how Russ doesn't have what's called discernment. He said, look, when I figured out that Eli James was a Jew, and when I figured out Bill Fink was a Jew, I essentially refused to have anything more to do with them. And Russ, you know full well that they're both Jews, and the only ones you refuse to have contact with is with Fink, and it's only because Fink isn't very nice to you. You know, Eli James, he's a, quote, nice Jew, and you still go ahead and hang on to every word, and you have, you know, you still go ahead and hang around them. And look, Russ, you don't have any discernment. Well, the answer is no, Russ doesn't here. I mean, Well, me and John Britton have called, you know, Russ to his face, Baby Huey, and, he, you know, Russ goes ahead and laughs about it. But, hey, I mean, Russ is Russ, and I'm not going to go ahead and insist that Russ be what Russ is supposed to be. It's not my place to go ahead and tell people, you know, what they should or shouldn't do. I mean, that's, you know, the main thing, you know, to where I wouldn't claim puppy dog, you need to go outside. You need to go outside. Don't go out, puppy dog. What happens is that, oh, poopy dog, I had the cell phone hooked up to the charger, and he went ahead and jumped in my lap and hit the cord and knocked the cell phone out of my hand and hung up here last night on the news kike show. So, essentially, you know, he wants to jump in my lap here, but he's not too crazy about my thing. So I had to go ahead and, you know, like I said, use the bathroom. So I made her take puppy dog with her here. You know what I mean? So, so anyway, here, I guess you have Linda's guest number 22. You know, guest number 22.
Well, she's back in press. Look, she better not screw with me. Hey, my brother's a lawyer. And she's already called my mom a whore and said all kind of nasty shit to my friend Cindy and my mom. So she better just drop it. I'm not doing shit to that crazy bitch.
Yeah.
I don't even know her address anymore. Her address is public information. Okay.
Well, it wasn't you. It was a NIMBUSTER.
Mark, listen, okay? I forgot her number. She changed her number because last time I tried to call her, it was disconnected. Been posting her address all over the place. Looked it up in the white pages or whatever. So she can't come after me. She's crazier than hell.
Yeah. Well, she's in the chat here. And, what to do? I mean, I could block her, but I don't really want to. I mean, unless she goes ahead and gets really... She did sort of go ahead and make some threats here, and I had to block her. Oh, a week or two ago, but hey, I don't really want to block anybody unless I have to.
Linda, I'm not posting your address anywhere. I don't have it memorized. I don't even know it.
The NIMBUSTERS.
NIMBUSTERS. They come in my chat room and Mark's chat room and they post it. I'm not the one posting it because I don't even have it memorized. I can give a shit less about you and your two family. And you're screaming you don't have any money. Well, if your daughter really gave a shit about you, then she's got plenty of money, and so does her boyfriend. So don't, I tried to help you. You didn't want me. You didn't want Mark. You didn't want Russell. You didn't want dual C-line Christian identity. You didn't want to be a white nationalist anymore. If you wanted to go back to your Jew family, like you said, and now they won't take care of you. They won't help because you're broke and you can't hardly pay your bills. Don't come crying to me and Martin. Okay, after all the nasty shit you said about my mom and Cindy, okay? You're the one that attacked me and Cindy way before I ever said anything about you, so you better shut your damn wide, non-blushing face and go back and hang out with your spawn and say, get that you squeezed out.
Okay. But how do you really feel, Logan?
I don't know who the hell's posting your shit, Linda. I mean, who gives a shit about Linda?
Well, the NIMBUSTERS are. Yeah, I mean, what happens is the NIMBUSTERS, what a NIMBUSTER did was a NIMBUSTER went ahead and they decided to go ahead and do some, searching. And what they did is they went ahead and took that email. They went ahead and took that email that I posted. And they went ahead and did a search. They went ahead and did an internet search. And they found that old Sean Aaron Visser, sometimes he calls himself Sean. Most of the times he calls himself Ron. And, you know, short for Aaron, he calls himself Ron Visser most of the time. Sometimes he calls himself Sean Aaron Visser. And pretty well they did a search. And from what I gather, here's old Sean, you know, Aaron Visser. He goes ahead and he's written a good review of something from Disney or somebody about Disney World. Pretty well, from what I gather, you know, he's a Disney fan, and so is his Niglets. You know, they like going to that here. I have a picture of him with Jiminy Cricket. I go ahead and place that as an avatar. And he looks like a beaner. You know what I mean? You know, one of the Nimtars calls himself Senior Zero. And, you know, short for Zorro, but Zero. And another one calls himself, I forget what. But anyway, they did a search here. And it turns out, you know, it went ahead and turned out Lynn Stables told the truth. This is Sean, you know, Sean Aaron Bisser here. He loves Disneyland. He's a Mamser. He's this, he's that. And pretty well, it's out of that. And then somebody else went ahead and found out where Sean Aaron Visser works. He's an affirmative action hire at some corporation or another, which has something to do with television broadcasting or something here. And in any case, for my Gary, I guess he's a brother who actually works for a living. Jeremy has not had a steady job since the Caterpillar plant, you know, shut down in Georgia, you know, went ahead and shut down in Georgia. And there's
been working, I don't like sock puppets, and Linda's accusing me of having sock puppets. You know,
I'm the one who has the sock puppets. It's just that, to be honest with you, I have three computers going, but only two of them here, Dick Reltney and Finkelschini, are my two sock puppets. I don't really have time to type while I'm doing the show. I go ahead and I look at the chat, see if people are pretty well trolling the crap out of it or not here. But when I'm Saturday night, when you end up having, Saturday night is when I essentially use all the computers. I have all four of them now hooked up. But tonight I went ahead and, you know, unhooked or, you know, I'm not opening up the Toshiba number 3, the new one that I bought. I got the Toshiba number 1, you know, with a worn out keyboard as Dick Reltney, you know, pretty well running it. And I have the compact number 3. What I found out, what happens is that pretty well Toshiba number 1 and Toshiba number 2, I somehow got forced to upgrade Firefox. So for Toshiba number 3, I had to do a search, and I downloaded Firefox 3.6.27 or something like that, the next to the last one before they went ahead and ran wild, upgrading it. And I've noticed that since Firefox has gotten so screwed up by all these unnecessary upgrades that essentially they don't bother, you know, on the new computer. The only two browsers that they have downloaded are Internet Explorer and Google Chrome. They're the only two that they have downloaded. They don't have Firefox downloaded anymore. So I had to go ahead.
Well, Firefox, you told me after the 4.0 version that all other versions were crap.
No, the best version was 3.6 point whatever. Then they started going ahead and going to Firefox 10 and 12, and now they're up to 15 here. So I don't know what the hell the deal was here between 3 and 10, and, you know, 12 and 15. They just went ahead and just went hog wild over the last 3-4 months. You know what I mean? So, in any case, I managed to go ahead and download an old version of Firefox here. The reason I like the older version is that you're able to have a timestamp on the chat. Speaking of which, it's been about, 30-some minutes in this one. Can we have a 2-minute break, and then we'll go ahead and come back? And when we come back, I want to talk about having old Keith go ahead and call in here. He got pretty annoyed at me, Saturday afternoon here, and he hung up on me.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I'll go ahead and tell you about that. Okay?
Yeah, I want to hear about this.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll be back in about 2 minutes. You go ahead and remind me when we come back. Okay, folks, 2-minute break, folks. Hail victory. Okay, folks, we're back. Figure out if Three Nipples McGee went ahead and quoted on behalf of guest number 22. Guest number 22 was Linda, and pretty well I didn't really want to go ahead and mute her, but essentially she's going to go ahead and threaten the call, talk to you, and the police. I mean, look, she's been told that Logan essentially doesn't want anything more to do with her, don't want to go ahead, is not insisting that she do anything. You've gone ahead and decided to go back to your Jew daughter, if she'll have you. And for all practical purposes, since you decided to do that, there's no more point in you even being here. By being here and going ahead and bringing up the past in which you didn't get along, you know, with a man young enough to be your son, to where essentially he don't want anything more to do with you, that's not a matter for talk to you or the police. It's a matter for you simply to go ahead and get over it and move on. I remember what, months ago you asked me to take down when Logan accidentally had mentioned your name, and I went back to there, took out the instances, loaded it back here. So you have no complaint against me. And I don't think you have a complaint against Logan. You need to simply move on. Nobody in Christian Identity wants anything to do with you. We don't even want to go ahead and mention your name. We essentially want you to move on and stop acting like this crazy psycho bitch from, what was her name, Glenn Close from, you know, Fatal Attraction or something like that, about somebody stupid enough to screw some bank here, and then she gets ahead and starts killing his cat or dog or whatever you, and then, you know, him, right?
Yeah.
Remember?
The only Linda I talked about the last 2 or 3 weeks was that Linda in the email. It was Athena's friend and Russell's friend.
Oh.
And,
well, it don't really matter. I mean, let me go ahead and say that for all practical purposes, I go ahead in my Gmail account, I get all this stupid crap. I will go ahead and get up to, you know, I remember it's always Ephraim Scepter horseshit when you end up having Jews like Richard Nimla in it. And, you know, pretty well, I don't even respond to it here. Some of these tards have got my name, and as long as it's not overt, you know, 419 Nigerian spam or something like that, I mean, essentially, Gmail is huge. I used to have only 7 megabytes, and I was, you know, when I got close to 50%, they went ahead and added another 3 gigabytes to my account. So essentially, I'm using what? You know, 7 gigabytes of what? Oh, 10, you know, about 4, you know, or, you know, 3, I'm using about what? 45% of a 10 gigabyte account from Gmail. And from what I gather, every time I get close to getting half of it, they just go ahead and give me some more. So there's no point in going ahead and deleting the stupid crap. But I remember it got up to Tamar. Huh?
Yeah.
I got to where Tamar.
I try to block it. Hey, I used to block the spam, but I don't know what's going on. A lot of them, I hit anti-spam on certain websites, and I keep on getting emails from certain people, even after I hit spam. I don't know how the hell, why it's not blocking it.
Well, what happens in Gmail, what Gmail will do is it has a little button, and occasionally, like, hello, dear friend. You know, I go ahead and see something from some so-called frog or Nigerian, I'll go ahead and hit spam, and then I won't see it no more. I mean, essentially, Gmail has one heck of a spam filter, and that's what I go ahead and do here. I will go ahead and get an ad from Big Lots, from Best Buy, especially since I bought my computer at Best Buy. Now they're sending me stuff. I have an Amazon Prime account, and for this criminal who's locked up in the nut house, you know, pretty well I'm buying him books from the sci-fi book club. So essentially, I will get about every day something from the Sci-Fi Book Club wanting me to buy something, Amazon.com recommending I buy something, Big Lots twice a week, Big Lots, you know, it's really Big Lots, but you know, or Big a lot. I'm not quite sure what it is. I'm not sure, you know, but anyway, I end up going ahead and getting some stuff here. I get something from, you know, not as often here, but I end up getting a whole bunch of stuff here. And essentially, I'll go ahead and delete it myself manually. But if it's actually spam from Nigerians or something here, I'll go ahead and put it on the spam. But most of the time, heck, what the hell? Who cares? I go ahead, and it's usually Rustifer and Athena and Judy Nebs and Richard Nimoy. And I remember one time there were 55 freaking messages called Tamar Was a Whore. You know, Tamar was a whore. And essentially that's where the Ephraim Scepter nitwits go ahead and, you know, get off doing this sort of stupid crap. Well, anyway.
I tell them they're wrong. I even tell Russell, and he gets silent, but he goes back to believing the same bullshit.
Yeah, you can't teach Russell for nothing, okay? Can't teach him nothing, okay? Anyway, Logan, you want to get to Keith here? Okay. What happens is that Keith went ahead and Friday night, pretty well, you know, we went ahead and covered chapter 25, and we got a few times into whether or not Paul will be taking out the New Testament. You know my position. I know your position here. There's no sense in fighting about it, especially since we are not reading Paul. And what I do like about you is that essentially you do listen to where, when I said, here we are in Matthew chapter 25, it's all red letters. Why are we fighting about Paul in the middle of Matthew chapter 25? And you did see the sense in that. Let's just go ahead and not even argue about Paul. So you came to point here. Well, anyway, here comes Keith. He's guest number 9. And what happens is that I have to get up and Dr. Roxy. Now, her diabetic sores are almost, you know, pretty well all healed up. They're, you know, I mean, essentially they're very, very, very small. But essentially, I go ahead and wash her here, like, you know, got in the habit the last 6 or 7 months. So I went up there to take care of Roxy. And pretty well, I come back, and here you are arguing with Keith, okay? And pretty well, I mean, you know, Keith is ruder. You know.
Here's my thing, okay, is this. You know, I'm not going to call Paul a Jew or homosexual, and basically, if you want to say the Book of Esther shouldn't be there, John 3:16 shouldn't be in there, if you want to say that, you know, the name of Yahweh was taken out 6,000 times in the Old Testament, it should have been left in there, if you want to say there's 99 lost books to corroborate, confirm that were taken out by the Catholic Church, okay.
The Catholic Church didn't take out the Apocrypha.
There's 99. The Apocrypha is only 14 books, but they took out the rest of the lost books. But the Apocrypha is only 14 of the 99 lost books. But what I'm getting at is, I'm not saying rip Paul out. What I'm saying is, in the lost books, there's only 12 apostles, not 13 or 14 or 15. So he could be a disciple. Okay, let's say he's a disciple. Fine. What I'm saying is, I think his words have been adulterated in the modern Bibles because some of his words don't line up with the rebel letters. And all I'm saying is, whether it's Peter, Paul, or whoever, okay, if it doesn't line up 100% with the rebel letters and with the Old Testament laws, see, he did tell me when I first started talking to him, he said that he only used Jesus only. He would not accept Yahweh or Yeshua. Now he doesn't want to admit that. And he also told me that the laws were done away with. Now he's just saying, well, just the ordinances, but not. It's see, he won't be specific about what laws he wants to keep and what laws he doesn't. With me, okay, I don't go kill a lamb, but I have unleavened bread and grape juice to represent the lamb, which was Yeshua. And I don't need a Levitical priesthood. I don't need Buddy Johnson or Jim Wickston to be the high priest. I've got the only priest of Yeshua. I don't need a man king anymore, because Yeshua is going to take over King David's throne. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Anyway, I told guest number 25 is Linda. You know, no threats here. I mean, you know, just no threats here.
I haven't posted her name in the chat room. That was some of these Jews.
Well, there's only two people. Dick Reltney, that's me.
I've never posted her address.
No, it's the NIMBUSTERS who do that stupid shit here.
The thing is, Linda said she was done with dual seed line and white nationalism.
Well, I wish she would be. Okay.
It's not me. It's not you.
Okay. Well, it's not me. It's not you. I mean, essentially, Linda. You know, I won't mute you as guest number 25. It's just no more threats. No more threats. Okay. You know, as long as you understand that. If you want to listen, you want to chat, that's fine. Just no threats here about I'm going to call talks you or I'm going to call police on you. I mean, there's nothing there that talks you or the police really want to go ahead and hear about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and don't pull a Jeremy Visser here or anything like that on me here. I mean, Jeremy Visser, last week, here he was threatening to call TalkShoe. He was blaming me because TalkShoe, 2 weeks ago, he was blaming me because TalkShoe didn't record his stupid show. The Pisser Possum Church.
Your problem.
And what happens, though, is that TalkShoe has a number of buggy things in it. And when I went ahead and did a gangsta Bolshevik show, 2 weeks ago, essentially, you know, with this Robert Lindsay tard, essentially TalkShoe didn't record it either. Now, last night when I was doing the Gangsta Bolshevik, I went ahead, instead of just letting the thing end here when I hung up, I went ahead and used my home phone with the calling card in. I went ahead and manually logged back in as comrade. And I went ahead and shut down the recording before I hung up. So essentially what it did do is it did record it. I mean, I guess Visser didn't go ahead and shut the thing down right, and TalkShoe had one of these little TalkShoe problems. I mean, TalkShoe will indeed screw up your shows every so often. It isn't because TalkShoe wants to screw them up. It's because TalkShoe, well, essentially, is free, and sometimes it's worth all you paid for it. You know, but let's go ahead and get back to Keith.
Okay,
Keith was having a big fight with you, and last night, you know, I mean,
he get mad at you. Why did he get mad at you?
Okay, well, Friday night, what Keith will do is that he'll go ahead and he considers himself to be a real good scholar. He's smarter than Emheiser, which I have no problem with, but he's smarter than Comparade, too. And you go ahead and you ask him when he makes this, you know, when he makes this sort of thing, okay, where did Comparade say that? And he can't go ahead and say anything about it. But one of the things he ended up saying was that, you know, you remember Genesis chapter 38, where essentially Judah, you know, and this was covered Friday, Judah went ahead, his first wife, the patriarch Judah, his first wife was a Canaanite bitch. And I forget exactly what her name was. Don't really matter, because I guess the bitch died. But she gave birth to three little Jew boys here. You know, this is where the Jews come from, is these people. The first one was so evil, named Ur, that Yahweh just went ahead and just did a drive-by, you know, lightning bolt or whatever, struck that little Jew boy bastard deader than a hammer. You know what I mean? But first, what he'd done is he'd gone ahead and married, you know, a Mesopotamian white woman named Tamar. And for my guy, I wouldn't be surprised if she was a second cousin of his, probably from the line of Abraham, which stayed behind in Ur, you know, Ur of the Chaldees. You know what I mean? That's where Abraham came from. So essentially, she probably was, you know, she was a, for my guy, she was a Mesopotamian woman, you know, that lived in the Fertile Crescent, probably from Ur, probably just like Laban, who was essentially, you know, Rebecca's brother. You know what I mean? The woman was probably a second or third cousin of Judah. You know what I mean? Not even a first cousin, a second or third cousin. But she was a white woman. So here he goes ahead. He finds a white woman to marry his little Jew bastard. And the first one was such an evil little fucker. You know, Jesus Christ goes ahead and just, well, not Jesus Christ, but Yahweh goes ahead and just kills him better than a hammer. So here we come to the second one named Onan. He's supposed to go ahead and raise up seed from his brother. So I guess he goes ahead, puts it in, he pulls it out, and he squirts onto the ground. And Yahweh gets pissed off at that. And for money, you know, Keith went ahead and made the point, well, why would Yahweh get mad at the ending of a Canaanite seed? And all I can think of is that Yahweh was looking for an excuse to go ahead and kill these little Jew boy bastards deader than a hammer. I mean, Yahweh was just looking for an excuse. So, bam, there goes Onan. You know, Onan goes ahead and, you know, gets another drive-by from Yahweh. Okay, so here's the third one. He's a little bit young, called Shelah. And essentially, you know, supposedly he's supposed to go ahead and raise seed, you know, with this widow from his, you know, from his brother Ur and his brother Onan. But from what I gather, everybody sort of thinks this Tamar is one unlucky skank here. So essentially, yeah. Judah doesn't want to go ahead and marry, you know, marry off the little bastard. He gets a little bit older, and Tamar is pretty well looking and say, hey, my biological clock is tick, tick, ticking, and I'm not sure if I really want to go ahead and be married to some Jew boys. So what she does is she tricks herself up like a whore and goes to the crossroads here, wait for old Judah to show up here. Well, Judah's there here, and from what I gather, he's a rather lusty one. He didn't mind the Canaanite bitch here screwing her. Well, he wants him some pussy. So essentially, he don't have a sheep or a goat here for humping her. So what he does, he leaves the staff and his ring here with her as security. And she goes ahead and sends a servant to go ahead and bring a goat or a sheep or whatever, you know, to pay off the whore, you know, and get his, you know, staff and his ring back. And nobody, you know, no, the whore ain't there. So, hell, the bitch went in and ran off with the equivalent of my driver's license, my signet ring, and my staff here. You know, damn. You know, I mean, hell, that pussy ended up costing me more than I wanted. So, anyway, it goes about, oh, 3, 4, 5, 6 months here, and they say, hell, your daughter-in-law, Tamar, her belly is, you know, she's been playing a whore. Look at that skank. I mean, hell, she's developing quite a belly here. You know, and so what happens, they're about to go ahead and burn that bitch to death, and she says, yep, here's the guy who screwed me. This is his ring, and this is the staff. And the Jew says, oh, heck, I am the man. So what she does, she gives birth to two twin brothers, and one of them sticks his hand out of her pussy here, and they tie a red string around it. He pulls it back, and his brother is born before him. And that gave birth to the royal Judean line of Zerah and Perez, of which Christ was from both sides of that particular family. Well, anyway, here comes Keith. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, he goes ahead and he points out is that the Shelahites, you know, which is the offspring of this little Jew boy, you know, Canaanite Jew boy, why, they're with the Israelites. You know, this is his family tree. And so he goes ahead and makes the point that these Israelites are the same as these Canaanites. And pretty well, I went ahead and, you know, old Keith, I'm asking Keith, why don't you go ahead and get your, you know, own show? Because generally what you do is you can only go ahead and get on and quarrel with other people who are having their own show. Why don't you have your own show and just go ahead and do it? And if need be, he had problems with his laptop or something like that. You know, he's on a internet phone from his internet service provider. He's having trouble getting on Skype, so I go ahead. He calls me on the house phone. It can barely hear him. I end up losing contact, so I go ahead and call him back on my cell phone, and we're going ahead and talking about 10, 15 minutes. I said, look, Keith, Keith's just coming in about how he's so smart. He's smarter than Compa Ray, smarter than Emmeiser. I agree with the Emmeiser smart, but he's smarter than, he's smarter than Compa Ray. Now I go ahead and bring up, well, last night you were talking about how these Canaanites were Israelites here.
Right, all he did was study. I mean, Keith is very arrogant to even say that. And I got pissed Friday night because Keith tried to put, Eli James, the Jew devil, in the same class as Compa Ray and Emory Sheldon. Of course, Emory Sheldon, I don't think much of compared to Compa Ray.
Well, no, Emory Sheldon used to know the dual seed line message. But he got involved with this kikist named Gerda Koch from Northwest Arkansas. She sold rare books here. And essentially, this Jew bitch goes ahead and comes up with the crap, because all the Jews are hostile to dual seed line. They're really, really, really super hostile to dual seed line. The reason, they're like Richard Niemöller. Dual seed line comes from the Talmud. And he can't answer when me or Inga said, okay, Jew boy, Nimoy, you finished Talmudic Spruler. Where in the Talmud does it say you Jew boys are descended from Lucifer? And it does sort of hint that they are, but in any case, Nimoy, he's sort of like clunked down, See, what happens is, Clunt Downing or Meerkat Mark, they get into the no devil horse shit too. As does Dave Barley.
Is Sheldon Emory the one that started all that? Is he the one that started all that no devil doctrine?
No, it was Gerda Koch. Gerda Koch, this Jewess.
Yeah.
This Jewess here from Northwest Arkansas. She has another guy who lives, his name is here, Dan Gentry.
That friend of Buddy Johnson, Arnold Bowen down in Georgia.
There's one, he still lives. I mean, essentially, you really ought to call him the Gerda Kochites is what you ought to call him. But they believe in, they call him Sheldon Emory because that Sheldon Emory was at least white here. But what happens, Dave Barley, is married to a Mexican here and, squeeze out a bunch of Mexican mamsers. He believes in no devil. So does Clunt, and their little meerkat Mark Downey. And the main reason they believe in that stuff is that, they've been run out of the dual seed line, church, and they've been run out of, believers, and they've been essentially talking crap about Pete Peters, so the single seed liners won't have anything to do with them, want to whip their ass. So essentially, in order to claim to be Christian identity, they come up with a no devil horse shit, And, Nimoy, he's a Jew, he hates it, and, pretty well Jews come into Christian identity and they preach this no devil. Well, there's no devil, and therefore we're not the spawn of Satan. That's where they come up with this.
Well, that's the universalist teaching, because if there's no devil, then everybody says, well, God loves everybody.
God loves everybody. And essentially Downey has pulled up the same crap, but he's a little bit smarter than that here. He got to pretend to be Christian identity. And essentially what I've seen him go ahead and say is that there's no devil. There's just people. Diabolos is from the Greek word, malicious gossiper. And essentially, Linstead, he's a Diabolos. Keith, Pete Peters, he's a Diabolos. I mean, essentially, there is no devil. There's just a whole bunch of, quote, malicious gossipers who are telling the truth about me and poor Clint and all this sort of stupid shit. Anyway, getting on with Keith. I said, look, Keith, what you're saying is that by going ahead and coming up with these Shelites, who are Canaanites, I mean, it's already admitted in Genesis chapter 38 that this little Canaanite bastard here was the son of Judah. I mean, Judah was sort of like, was a wigger who dipped his wick a couple of times, on pussy, you should know, just like Ham did. Just like Esau did. Ham and Esau were white. They were from a pure generation. But they just love to have this Canaanite Jew pussy and essentially breed a whole bunch of more little Mamzers. And pretty well, Keith said, well, no. What happens is that these Canaanites were Israelites, and these Israelites were Canaanites because they lived in the same general location. And I said, genetics has nothing to do with where you get your mail. It has nothing to do with, you know, how close you live to someone who isn't you. And essentially I said, I can't see why you go ahead and claim all these DSCI pastors are wrong, because the very basis of there's two seed lines. A good seed line of the pure-blooded Israelites and an evil seed line through Satan. And essentially, Keith got pretty well mad about it. I said, shoot, Keith, you can't claim to be dual seed line in one thing and then say that Canaanites and Israelites are the same people just because they live close together. You know, Keith got mad. And Keith got mad and he hung up on me. So, I don't know. I mean, I was trying to get him to do his own show, but I don't really, you know, I put up with 8 episodes, and it got to where Keith just got more and more arrogant and demanding, and, you know, basically said I was going to go to hell because I didn't believe in it. And essentially, you know, I just went in point. I mean, Keith will go ahead and do it. He'll be just like some of these Baptists. They'll go ahead and they'll quote the portion that goes ahead and says something, and then, you know, they'll go ahead and stop right there before the next verse of the Bible goes ahead and blows their bullshit, out of the water. So, you know, Keith, you know, I mean, you know, and plus it's the same thing. I mean, you remember last night when Keith was demanding that you shut up, you know, on your own show, because, you know, you were agreeing with him. And Keith, you know, Keith does that all the time. I mean, it's one of his ploys to where he tries to win the argument by saying that you're not letting him talk. You know what I mean? And then if you try to get a word in edgewise, he gets all pissy about it. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. That, you know, pretty well he hung up on me, what, Saturday afternoon?
I think, okay, that's his only defense. You know what? Instead of hanging up on my show and your show, why doesn't Keith get his own show again? I mean,
That's what I'm trying to do. The thing about it is, though, is that Keith wants somebody, you know, it's sort of like Fox News. I guess he wants a blonde with, a blue-eyed blonde with big tits to go ahead and, you know, essentially, yes, you know, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags full, sir. And pretty well, I went ahead and went along with this for about 8 episodes, and eventually, I sort of got tired of it. You know what I mean? So, you know, and then there was some other person here. He said, well, I can't stand 15 minutes of Keith. I don't know how you managed to go ahead and put up with, what, about 16 hours of it. But, I don't know. I want him to have his own show here. But the problem of it is that he really doesn't want to go ahead and do a show here. I guess he wants to go ahead and have a show and, I guess, argue with whoever he has a show with here. So, I don't know. I just, you know, I'd like him to have his own show. I really do believe in free speech. But I don't, I mean, there are some people who essentially, you know, it's either their way or the highway, and they're not willing to go ahead and, you know, give and take here. And as far as claiming to be dual seed line, you know, look, you've got to understand, you know, part of the thing is if you believe in dual seed lines, there's got to be two seed lines, one good, one evil. And if you're going to go ahead and say there is no two seed lines, the Canaanites and Israelites are the same, why bother to...
Let me ask you another thing about Keith. Okay, I want to tell you another thing about Keith, too. He put Eli James and the likes of Comfrey and Sheldon Emery. I don't think he has the discernment to call Eli James a Jew, because he didn't. He just said, well, he was a liar, but he wasn't a Jew. And then I flat out said that Clifton Niemeyer not only was a Mongol, but might be a Jew. And Clifton said, well, Keith Southward said, well, I've met Clifton personally, and I think he's pure white. I don't think Keith Southward has good discernment. I think he's worse than Russell on the
one way. See, okay. He does study the Bible quite a bit. I'll go ahead and grant Keith that here. It's just that, I don't know, he just...
Hold on. I want to interrupt real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Guest number 25, who is, you know who, I don't want to say her name, because I can care less, she admits that she's friends with Obi Genderbender, and Obi Genderbender put her up to coming in here and harassing me and you.
Oh.
Obi Genderbender. So she's already tied, and she just admitted that she would go be Jeremy Vince's friend.
Well, why not? I mean, why not? The thing
with Obi, but she's already admitting that she's conspiring with them to come after me and you. Mainly me.
Well, the thing, the answer is what does it? I mean, she doesn't have any loyalty to anybody. Let's see, she goes ahead, and Obi, in order to go ahead and get into her good graces, reveals Obi's name, whatever it is, and actual location and the rest of it. Let's say, in order to go ahead, I mean, I don't have a problem with Linda going ahead and getting close to Obi and, you know, Jeremy, because, you know, pretty well, I mean, what I found out about Visser, I mean, folks, I suspected Visser was a Mamzer when him and his good Mamzer friend, Melungeon friend, Brian Wright, were calling Swift and Butler Mamzers here. And I suspected, you know, that essentially one of the things that got me kicked off was pretty well saying, how dare you claim you are ordained through the line of Swift and Butler when you yourself are going ahead and going along with a ship-colored Mamzer, slant-eyed goose Mamzer, claiming and going along with the character who called Butler and Swift Mamzers. How can you go ahead and do that? You're sawing the limb out from under yourself. So I suspected Jeremy Visser was a Mamzer. And what happens, though, is that Jeremy Visser, in order to get out of stalking charge, went ahead and essentially admitted to being a Mamzer. He got all stumbled in and called himself Cherokee Visser. I mean, here's Visser going ahead and telling Eli James that the FBI investigated him for being a bomb maker, and here he is running around like a Mamzer you remember before they figured out it was Ted Kaczynski, the FBI put out a composite threat of Unabomber. You know, essentially the FBI went after Unabomber for what, 20, 30 years? Never even came close to finding him. You know who turned in, you know, Ted Kaczynski? It was his own brother who turned him into the FBI. Remember? The FBI never found Ted Kaczynski on their own. There's some people who call the FBI, I call them the fumbling idiots. Essentially, all they do is go ahead and go on VNNF, where they go ahead and they find some stupid raghead kid or nigger, and they go ahead and give them money, and then they go ahead and give them guns, and then they cut the guns and they arrest them, and they talk about how they are protecting Zog, you know, since 9/11. No, 9/11 was an inside job. Everybody knows that. And, you know, heck, even Jesse Ventura, you know, knows, you know, Zog did it. Everybody fucking knows Zog did it. But essentially what the FBI does is it goes ahead, in order to justify its anti-terrorist budget, they go ahead and they find terrorists. They find retards like, Kevin Harpham, or Joe Snuffy, whatever, on VNNF. Folks, it's all together a Zog false front to go ahead and find retards, to go ahead and accept money, and to accept, you know, bombs or whatever, in a sense that they're inert, and then the FBI arrests the tards and goes ahead and gives them years and years and years and years, and they confess and do whatever here. I mean, so Linda, do you think Linda's going to be any more? I mean, Linda, she's going to go ahead and, well, she's going to be up to her snout in Jew boys, like, you know, Jew boy Mamzers like this or Obadiah. Do you think that Linda's going to be any more loyal to Jeremy Visser and Oba Genderbender than she was to you? You know what I mean? At least you're white and trustworthy. I mean, you know, Visser and Obadiah, well, they're just a bunch of worthless Jews here, huh?
Here's my point. Okay. She said many times that she wanted to get out of where she... I won't even say her name or...
She wanted to get out of New Jersey or wherever the hell she was at, right?
Here's the thing. I was going to help her. I let her be on the show. We taught scripture. I thought she was sincere. I thought she was hardcore Bill Siegline, and she was a white nationalist and everything else. And then, I was going to help her. I was going to help her move to a nursing home or an old folks home. Hell, I was even going to try to find a place around. I was even going to let her temporarily maybe live in.
Okay, folks, we're pleasant. Well, I have an smartphone, and from what I gather, I guess my hand went ahead and hit the wrong button on the side. I don't think that's a smart design. Another thing I don't think is a smart design is having the built-in camera that comes to a cell phone on the side to where it's in your pocket, and you go ahead and hear the thing clicking, and you go ahead and get about 5 or 6 frames of pure, you know, black from the inside of your pocket. That's another thing I don't think is a smart, you know, is a very smart design. I don't believe in the smartphones. I will not get an iPod or anything like that here. Thankfully, I think Sansa makes a very, very, very good MP3 player. And essentially, Samsung makes a pretty good, non-smartphone. And I think that Kindle Fire makes a very good tablet. Okay? You know, none of this Apple shit. None of this Apple fanboy shit for me here. So anyway, we are back. And, look, guest number 25, you are welcome to do that. I'm just, you know, what I was pointing out, though, is that when you deal, even if you don't deal with Nimtards, they're not your friends. They're, you know, like John Britton said, they're sort of like piranha mamsers. They'll go ahead and eat anything that's alive in the pool. They'll go after Mike Blevins, you know, even though he's a Jew boy, I think. They'll go after Chris Drake. They'll go after Jeremy Visser. They'll go after me. They'll go after Logan. And if you're stupid enough to have something to do with Nimtards, they will go after you too. Once you go ahead and essentially, the Nimtards are the ones who are putting out your information. Essentially, that's what they did here. I didn't go ahead and look after old Sean Aaron Visser. It was a Nimtard who went ahead, essentially did the Google search and found out about, Sean Aaron Visser. Go ahead and find out that essentially Lindstedt was telling the truth. This is a valid email address. This is Sean Aaron Visser. He likes Disney. He likes Disney World horseshit. And
I'm back.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, I'm just sort of explaining to, guest number 25 is that it's freaking stupid to have anything, to don't feed the Nimtards. I mean, even if you don't feed the Nimtards, the Nimtards will still go ahead and munch down on you. But if you're stupid enough to go ahead and give them something, well, then you really do deserve whatever the hell you're going to get. So, in any case, just a word to the wise or the unwise. You know, if you want to go ahead and be Nimtarded, have something to do with the Nimtards. Okay?
Mr.
Right?
Mr. Bill's in the chat room.
So? Hello, Mumpsnut. They call him Mumpsnut. Mumpsnut, dumber than lightning. Everyone you see is smarter than he. And we love Mumpsnut, huh? Mumpsnut lives in a world full of wonder, stupidity and blunder. Continually, we call him Mumpsnut. Mumpsnut, dumber than lightning. Well, of course, I don't know if Lightning's particularly smart, but, near as most of them.
Master Bill said he challenged you to a fight in Florissant, Missouri, and you chickened out. You were scared of him.
Well, look, Mumpsnut, the code duello means that if you go ahead and issue a challenge, it means that I get to determine the weapons. I get to determine the grounds, Mumpsnut. Why should I go ahead and get in my Geo Metro and drive up to Florissant, Missouri, Mumpsnut? Mumpsnut, I'm not scared of you. I'm 6 inches tall. I'm 8 inches taller, 10 pounds less fatter, and probably at least 3 or 4 inches longer, if you know what I mean, Mumpsnut. I mean, it ain't like I'm scared of you. I mean, I went ahead and offered that most nut. You want to go ahead and come? You want to go ahead? Since I get to go ahead and name the weapons on the ground since you issued the challenge, it's gelding knives at zero paces, no witnesses in my front living room, Mumps Nut. And Poopy Dog gets to eat the pieces that you cut off. Well, come on now, Mumps Nut, I'll geld you. Now, if I go ahead and really did something bad to Mumps Nut, why heck? I'd probably go ahead and get to go ahead and meet all my friends at the Nut House again. I'd say for what? Oh, 4 years and some odd months. Huh?
Well, Pastor Bell says he'd love to beat the shit out of you.
Mumpsnut has chance to attack me. I mean, Mumpsnut instead decided to go ahead and puke up a bunch of spaghetti here because he's scared, sort of like Trader Glenn Miller. I'd notice him. I mean, look, Mumpsnut, if you want to go ahead and claim you're so tough, I don't really care. But Mumpsnut, I mean, it's ridiculous for you to claim, that I'm scared of you. I'm not scared of you, Mumpsnut. But, I mean, over the years, I've had hundreds of challenges from people who want to go ahead and claim that they're so tough. I'm supposed to go ahead and, like Brian Rio. This is before I knew who Brian Rio was. I was supposed to go ahead and drive up to freaking Cleveland, and essentially he'd go ahead and tell me who he was once I got to Cleveland, and he was going to have a mixed martial arts because he thought he was real good at Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Well, maybe Brian Rio, but essentially if I went ahead and grabbed a hold of you, I'd probably tear your little Juno Brown digger lipped head off. You know what I mean? Just go ahead and start twisting here. You know what I mean? Just snap your neck. But I'm not scared of Brian Rio. Finkelschini, he pulls the same stupid crap. Now, how are you so tough? Well, look, Finkelschini, I'm not no little 5'3" Puerto Rican sneak thief who's in shackles that you get to go ahead and beat up in jail with another pig. I mean, all these characters, they pretend to be really, really, really tough, and they're not. I mean, Mumpsnut was just scared shitless that I was a crazy maniac who detected him, that he was just a lying, retard coming down, and Mumpsnut was scared shitless of me. And for Mumpsnut to go ahead and claim that it's, that it's big and bad and brave and bold is just freaking. Okay, folks, it wasn't TalkSkew. It was, essentially it's just bad non-smartphone design here and, operator's headspace here. Mumpsnut can go ahead. Mumpsnut, he's with Jeremy here. Thing about it is, the old gender bender is Jeremy Visser's main supporter now. And, I mean, old gender bender just got tired of Mumpsnut and his retardation. I mean, here he is. Mumpsnut is going ahead, and pretty well saying, "Well, look, you must be a faggot because you have an female avatar." I mean, pretty well, Mumpsnut was getting a little bit frisky with Obagenderbender. From what I gather, you know, Gillette is a dry, you know, is a dry, drunken cokehead. From what I gather, just like me and John Britton figured out, is that Gillette got tired of mumps, nuts, retardation. Billy Roper got tired of mumps, nuts, retardation. About the time I sent him a DVD that I found from 2005, Billy Roper figured out, you know, I said, look, you need to go ahead and do a Missouri case nut look here. You can go ahead and see that old Mumps Nut is just a low rep Dave Hall. I mean, essentially, he's just a professional snitch here. You need to go ahead and make sure that you don't go ahead and have this character around. And Billy Roper has a bad history of essentially going ahead and getting himself tied in with, you know, known snitches like Rick Spring and now Morris Gillette and, you know, old Mumps Nut. So anyway, you know, Billy Roper kicked him out.
Bastard, hey. Hey, Mumps Nut, he just left the chat room. Everybody told him to call in. I guess he chicken shitted out, you know.
Well, of course he chicken shitted out. I mean, Mumps Nut comes in. And what Mumps Nut does is he whines, he snivels, and he runs off here when, you know, people are just making too much fun of poor old Mumps Nut. You know, so anyway, Mumps Nut, he's sucking up. He's trying to get back on 2.5 Mamsers, and, you know, Obgenderbender ain't going to have anything of that. I mean, Mumps Nut is just such a retard that, you know, people get tired of him. So, I mean, pretty well, if anybody goes ahead and looks here, goes ahead and looks for Bill the Clue. I mean, essentially, they go ahead and then, you know, see about half a 100 pages of Liar Bill, the Clueless, you know, / Mumps Nut or Mumps Nuts. And you go ahead and Liar Bill will go ahead and claim, oh, I'm not ashamed of my criminal record. I tell everybody about it. Well, answer, Mumps Nut does not tell everybody about it.
So he spent time in jail?
Yeah, he spent a while. What happens is that, when he came down here, you know, from my gallery, he joined the Air Force, and, you know, I mean, he was pretty retarded, you know, for a six-year stay, about the same time I was in the Army, you know, sometime in 1980, and he managed to go ahead. He was supposedly Air Force, you know, ground security, you know, essentially people with, you know, M-16s to guard essentially these air bases from attack, from whatever. And from what I gather, he went ahead and said something about how he got kicked out of the Air Force. And from what I gather, it was for stealing or something like that. And essentially, there's probably no record on that. But you go ahead, you type in D-Clue, you know, capital D-E, capital C-L-U-E, you know, and then go ahead and type in William Sean DeClueless, you know, or the clue, and, William, you know, his middle name is Sean, S-H-A-W-N. Type it up in Missouri Case Net, and what you'll do is you'll see that in 1982, I think he was born in 1960, so in 1982 or something like that, he got, or 62, I'm not quite sure when, but he got arrested for burglary and breaking and entering. And from what I gather, he went ahead and does just like what he used to do. He's not a very smart criminal. He just went ahead and took a plea, you know, deal. He got a year in prison, you know, enough to make him a felony. You know, he was convicted of a Class C felony, and essentially he got sentenced to 6 months, you know, year prison time. Essentially, you know, knocked down to 6 months in the St. Louis County workhouse. And essentially what the workhouse is, it's not quite the jail, but it's not quite the big prison. Essentially what it is, it's a place where, well, essentially petty felons and petty thieves and petty criminals, you know, on the first time, go ahead and work in a sort of sheltered workshop or something like that to essentially pay their debt off to society. They got a felony.
Yeah.
So what happens is that he went ahead and told me a big story about how his sisters were, you know, were mud sharks, and Martin, I'll never call you a child molester. I got accused twice of sexual assault on my niece. And they start talking about how his sisters married niggers and his mother was siding with the mud sharks and their nigger boyfriends and their, you know, their nigglet nieces and nephews. And, you know, essentially how, you know, what happened, finally he managed to go ahead and get the house out from under his mother, you know, from his Air Force, you know, from his Air Force, whatever. And I'm thinking, well, shit, you only served 17 months. How'd you go ahead and save up enough to buy a house in Florida? So, you know, now he claims that they were adopted sisters and he had an older brother. And, you know, the one he tried to rape was his, you know, was his white niece who was 19. And essentially this is after he goes ahead. He doesn't even wait. He doesn't even wait to plead guilty. He gets a suspended imposition sentence in 1995 or 1996. He doesn't even face arraignment.
He did admit to raping. Okay, he did admit to trying to rape his so-called white niece.
Well, he didn't admit to raping her. He went ahead and claimed that he essentially was accused here. But this was after he got the suspended imposition of sentence. And what happens is that back then, for a felony weapons charge as a convicted felon, you know, essentially it used to be 5 to 15 years federal prison time. And essentially here it is, he gets a suspended imposition of sentence. You know, back when, you know, suspended imposition of sentence was for all these people who didn't have insurance, didn't have any money, who they wanted to go ahead and just take money from. And essentially if you send them to prison, you can't go ahead and live off them. So essentially he got suspended imposition of sentence right around the time that they became sort of popular. And essentially he had supposedly 120-day shock. You go ahead and you can read it on Missouri Case Net. And if I'd gone ahead and, you know, paid attention, I should have gone ahead and, you know, immediately looked after. I didn't think about looking after his Missouri case file until after 3 months after I ordained the worthless bastard. And essentially, you know, he's going ahead and laying hints. He's going to try to upgrade his ordination to Morris Gillette, even though he knows that Morris Gillette went ahead and supposedly kicked me out of his Church of the Sons of Yahweh. Well, Gillette did that in order to go ahead as part of his plea bargain, you know, to go ahead and, you know, pretty well do that. I mean, Gillette had heard that advocated prion poisoning and essentially skinning alive regime criminals and their spawn. I mean, I've never gone ahead and changed my view on that at all here. Yesterday, Saturday afternoon, it's around 4 o'clock. I go up to Ramey's, you know, at the supermarket block and a half north of me. I go ahead and send out a $50 money order to this one nut I met here who was railroaded into a, you know, into a statutory sodomy charge. And essentially, he got railroaded and pretty well, he finally got a lawyer, and this lawyer wants to send him back to the nut house and he doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
So here he is telling me, oh, I'm going to bypass the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals and I'm going to go directly to the United States Supreme Court. And I'm thinking, what the hell? You got at least a hearing in front of the 8th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals automatic, and you're going to bypass them to go to the Supreme Court? I mean, do you know how many cases are taken up by the Supreme Court? Less than 1 out of 100, you're going to bypass a sure thing to go to the Supreme Court, and you want some of this money to go ahead and, you know, print up a whole bunch of stuff to go ahead and send them about how, you know, there's been a lot of crookedness going on and that's why your case ought to be overturned. You know, they don't want to go ahead and hear about crooked judges and crooked lawyers and crooked prostitutors. They know all about it. They're the ones who went ahead and unleashed these bastards here. But, hey, you know, look, I sort of, you know, him and the guy who killed his dad with a claw hammer and a few other people, I go ahead and I support my friends here, guilty or innocent. You know, I think he's innocent. And so I'm not going to go ahead and just cut him off. If I give him about $100 a quarter, and if he wants to go ahead and spend 50 of it, you know, essentially, you know, chasing after the Supreme Court, he can do so. You know what I mean? Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, hey, I'm sending him this money, and I have to go ahead and mail it off at the post office before 4:30, and essentially it's 4:10. I'm walking down the hill, and this redneck quigger, you know, in a pickup truck, goes ahead and gives me a ride. So I go ahead and mail it off, and I'm looking at that, and he's got a letter from this crooked lawyer, this known crooked lawyer named Rhodes here. We get his front name here. His bitch daughter, she's a lawyer too, but she's, you know, she's a stupid cunt here. But he is a real smart crooked lawyer. If you want to go ahead, if you're guilty as hell and you're a criminal, and essentially you want a crooked lawyer, sort of like this Saul Goodman on Breaking Bad here. You know, he's a hybrid nigger lawyer who has a Jew name, you know, because he wants to be known as a real good lawyer, as one of the tribe. Well, anyway, what happens is that I forget the guy's first name. His last name is Rhodes. He's a known crooked lawyer. And I said, well, what, you got something tonight? He said, yeah. What happens is that these people have gone ahead. I have a little son here. He's a smart son, and they've taken my kid away, and they're trying to sell him. They're trying to sell him to some rich people and get a kickback. And this lying bitch, Kathy Gorman, of the local DFS here, she's at the head of it. I said, yeah, I know that evil bitch. I know that evil bitch. I said, look, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, anybody who goes ahead and steals white children, they and their entire family need to be put to death, and they need to be skinned out. They need to be run through a meat grinder. They need to essentially have their ground-up carcasses, after they've been skinned, their pelts held out to dry, and they and their children run through a wood chipper and fed to the dogs and other regime criminals. They need, you know, that's what needs to happen to them. And essentially, this wigger who has had his kid stolen agreed with me. He said, you know, there's a pity you can't do even more to him. I mean, that's what gets me, that white people, white men, who essentially are under the gun, never think I'm a child molester. But what happens is the Jews and Mamthers and criminals always think I am. Essentially, it's not about guilt or innocence. Yeah, it's all about what side they are. And Obi Gender Bender screams and hollers as if, how dare you talk about killing Jews? Hmm? Yeah. How dare you talk about killing traitors? And, you know, I mean, you go ahead and hear this. I mean, essentially, you're not going to have any peace. You're not going to have anything good until every Quaker who sides with the police or sides with a lawyer who sides, I mean, you've got, it's not a matter of guilt or innocence. It's a matter of sides. And we will not be safe as a people until everyone, our traitors, our Mamzers, our Jews, are sent screaming to hell. And you don't have them anymore. You can't go ahead and form a Nazi community and go ahead, one reformed Whigger, one white man, cannot keep his eye on 12 Whiggers, 17 or 18 Muds, and a Jew or two. You can't go ahead, you can't go ahead and keep your eye, 10 million ex-Whiggers cannot keep their eye on 300 million, Jew and Mamzer and Whigger crud. They've got to be dead. They've got to be where they cannot cause any more trouble. They cannot cause any more treason. And the only solution for the white nation or Yahweh's servant nation is extreme extermination. I mean,
Yahweh said, bring hither me before my enemies. Not that I'm going to rule over them and slay them. Yahweh is not going to be over all these damn serpents and mongrels. I mean, he said, and even look, this ain't my opinion. This ain't your opinion. I mean, this ain't Russ Walker's opinion. This is what Yahweh said. It's pretty obvious there's not going to be peace with Satan and his kids running the show. They're going to, I mean, it's going to be Yahweh only.
No, the whole reason that you have Jews is so that heaven is not cluttered up with Uyghur drones here. That's the whole reason. That's the whole reason that Yahweh allows evil to prevail.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty obvious.
Well, yeah. So,
basically, I've taught since I came. Joe from Pennsylvania asked me. I first heard the identity message in the fall of '98, and I really started understanding what was going on. In fact, the Bible never made sense. Nothing made because I didn't know. I thought I was a Gentile. I thought these spawn of Satan were so-called true Israel, Hebrew Israel of old, and. You know, until you understand that, you don't understand why everything's so damn evil until you understand there's a warfare going on between the children of light, children of darkness.
Well, that's exactly what I was trying to tell Keith here. You know, how can you claim to be dual seed line, you know, when you don't believe there are two seed lines? You believe that essentially Canaanites and Israelites are the same, you know, are the same people. Based upon your selective reading.
Keith believes, what the hell does Keith believe?
Keith believes that the Canaanites and Israelites are the same because they live close together, and what happens is that the Shelahites here, they're mentioned in First Chronicles chapter 4, and essentially they're mentioned as the sons of Judah. Well, yes, they were, through the Canaanite bitch wife that he had. You know, but look, Keith, I mean, you can't go ahead and claim to be dual seed line if you're going to go ahead and say there's no difference between Canaanites and Israelites. You know what I mean? Just because they live close together, or they did live close together, and the Israelites are given a hard time because they didn't go ahead and exterminate them all when they had the chance, right? So if you believe that Canaanites and Israelites are the same thing, why are you claiming to be Christian identity or dual seed line Christian identity? I mean, yeah, well, all these Christian identity pastors got it wrong. Well, no, Keith. Your problem is that you go ahead and you read a little bit of the Bible. You go ahead and you pick and choose what you're going to read, and then you go ahead and claim that because they don't agree with you, they're all wrong, and you're the only one who's right. And no wonder you can't go ahead and get along with anybody.
Not only that, Mark, not only that, I told him, he loves to pounce on me or you before we can get the words out of our mouth. Basically, he might be right about 10% of what I believe, and he starts attacking me, accusing me of doing this or doing that, when that's not even what's going on. That's not even what I haven't said that. And basically, he's very presumptuous. And he's very argumentative, and, you know, I mean, I didn't mind having that little show Friday, and basically, you know.
It was an interesting show. It was an interesting show, I'll grant you.
Yeah.
But, hey, I mean, some people like, well.
I think he needs to, look, I don't mind him calling your show or my show, but I think he needs to have his own show if he has his own show. If somebody calls in this show, then he can mute them or he can hang up on them and he can be the king of his show.
He told you 3-4 times to shut up on your own show, and I was thinking, what the hell, Keith? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, I mean, there are some things I agree with Keith and there are some things I disagree with Keith here. It's just that, I don't know, I think I did 7 or 8 shows with him, and it got to where I just really couldn't go ahead and do any more with him. You know, I mean, that became the, you know what I mean? And there were a few people that said, I don't see how you managed to go ahead and laugh that long with him. Well, you know, I did, but eventually, you know, enough was enough. You know what I mean? Especially when it boils down to Keith is 100% right all the time. Everybody else, if they disagree with Keith, is wrong. And you go here you are, look at the Bible, and he stops a verse or so short of something that's going to blow his, blow his argument away. And I've seen Baptist ministers. I've seen a number of people, Jehovah's Witnesses, they pull the self same shit here. So then you got to wonder, is it shit? They're tards most of the time, but it seems like they're lying tards to where they know, they know just where they're about to go ahead, get their shit blown away if they go one more verse, and so they stop right then and there. Okay? And that gets annoying. That really does. So, anyway, let's see. How long have we been yakking this time here? Anyway, so.
I'll tell you what, Mark, I've got to go to work tomorrow. I think I'll call it a night. And we've basically, all I got to do is let Linda or Mumpsnuts or Visser or whoever, let them say what they want to say. They'll expose, basically, they'll tell on themselves or expose themselves. I don't even have to argue with these people because out of their own mouth, their own statistics, they're going to admit to what they believe and what they are, whether they love serpent seed kids or whether they're a cheat or whether they're, basically a coward or whether they're, basically don't believe in two seed lines. So if they want to argue, I mean, all I'm going to do is quote scripture and quote the truth and quote the two seed line, and if they can't handle it, they can slam the phone down like a little baby and scream and holler.
Well, they can. I mean, look, for all practical purposes here, and that's another thing that they go ahead and bitch about. Morty doesn't go ahead and talk about the Bible too much in his show. Well, folks, this is not really a Bible show, although I go ahead on occasion.
Well, I'll tell you what, okay. My show, usually I try to gear it all Bible, but when you call in or when Russell calls in, but the thing is, whenever I bring up scripture or Russell or somebody else, you're there to counter it and to it. And you have studied the scripture, so it's not like you are not ministering. It's not like you say you believe in Yahweh, but you don't know the scripture and you don't want to teach it. And so for them to say that, well, basically,
this was on the News Kike show. Here it is, Brooklyn or Queens Kike, New York City Kike going in pretending to be an Aryan living in Iceland. I figured out the critter was a Jew even before I heard its name of Goodman. And, on what, episode number 3 with Brian Reel. And pretty well, what happens, what you end up having is you end up having this retarded epileptic faggot, the intern. And from what I gather, old Lloyd Davies or Mongoloid has gone ahead and gone along with essentially, with the herd of Nimtards. And essentially, Nimbusters. I mean, Bill White figured out the same thing. Pastor John Britton figured out the same thing. You can't get on Nimbusters using a Tor browser any more you can get on Open Gender Benders using a Tor browser any more than you can go ahead and get on John Watermanser's or Waterman's show using a Tor browser. I mean, essentially, they don't want you being truly anonymous. They're data mining.
No, they don't.
And essentially, Nimbusters, I believe, and Bill White said the same thing. Nimbusters essentially is a Zog false front. It's a data mining operation to where essentially they're just pretty well spying on you. They're keeping an eye on you. And that's exactly what the hell they want to do. They want to go ahead and keep an eye on you. So, pretty well, It's not for real. The Nimbusters are there's a few CI Nimbusters, and then there's people like Pig Fraud who know a little bit about it. But most of CI, most above ground Christian identity is filled with Mamzers and Jews and liars and tards. And
right.
And I don't worry about it. Heck, there's more Christian identity people here within 30 miles of me than there are you know, pretty well in all of New York State and New Jersey and Pennsylvania combined. I mean, this, you know, I'm living on the outskirts of pretty well the number one place for Christians. But you got to understand is that they all have their little heresies, and most of them don't come from Wesley Swift's church, you know, like the Idaho bunch do. Most of them come from Herbert Armstrong's, you know, church, and also the Church of God Seventh Day from Stanbury, Missouri. I need to go. I went ahead and looked where Stanbury, Missouri was, and I forgot where it was. It's some little small town. You know, doesn't really matter here. But no, I mean, most of it is British Israelitism. You know, it's practiced by Herbert, practiced by those before Herbert Armstrong came along. But it is pretty common here. I mean, Harrison, Arkansas, with Michael Hallamore. But
yeah,
with Mike Hallamore's stuff, is he sends it out to criminals, Mams or criminals like Brian Wright and Finkelschimi, and essentially they get it. And then they pretend that they know all about, you know, Christian identity, and they don't. They really don't. All they're reading is...
Mike Hallamore, I'm not saying that he don't have any discernment, but he's trying to make a living off of it, so...
Yeah, he's trying to make a living off of it here. I mean, I'm pretty well disgusted by Mike Hallamore.
Look, if you got the money, he'll sell it to you if you're a Jew, Mams, or whatever, you know?
Well, as long as you're a criminal here and you go ahead and give, you know, that's what happened with Brian Wright. He went ahead and came up with a big old lie about how Gillette insisted that all his ministers have an AIT certificate from Mike Hallamore. Well, that was a total lie. What happens is that was one of his complaints about Morris Gillette when he went to prison, you know, in December of 2005, when I got to Nuthouse, was able to call John Britton using a calling card. He was all mad because he wanted to go ahead and buy a $100 AIT course from Mike Hallamore and send it to Morris Gillette, you know, in prison. And Morris Gillette didn't want to study it. Morris Gillette didn't want to even go ahead and look at it. He was bitching that he wanted $100 a month from John Britton. You know, to pretty well keep himself up in commissary. And pretty well John did it for a while, but, you know, then he sort of got in a little bit of financial difficulties and couldn't send Gillette no more money. And Gillette went ahead and sent him a hot letter in 2005 bitching about how, well, it was all John Britton's fault that he gave his webpage to a Rick Spring cutout called Zach Kraft, who went ahead and disabled the entire thing, and how it was all his fault that he went ahead and, you know, didn't go ahead and put up the webpage, didn't go ahead and do any outreach. And essentially, John Britton just took it because Joe Johnson and this Zach Kraft had pretty well screwed it up, and Gillette had gone ahead and been the ones who have signed them to it. And essentially all John Britton was doing was just simply, you know, just going ahead and, you know, keeping the web page up, what was left of it, and pretty well, you know, supposedly being the senior pastor. There wasn't anything left here after Gillette went ahead and screwed the pooch. And here he is whining and pissing, you know, that John Britton isn't doing enough. John Britton wanted to go down to, you know, Mariana, Florida, and visit Gillette and beat his ass. And I said, well, I just, you know, you're going to go to prison here, and then you're going to go ahead and go to jail here doing something stupid like that. You know, let me go ahead and find out what's going on. So I called Brian Wright, and essentially Brian Wright was a shifty, lying, you know, piece of shit, most sanctimonious bastard I've ever seen. And essentially I got in touch with this old guy in Ohio who actually run it, and essentially he said that, well, Gillette didn't get hardly any money, but, you know, essentially he was supposed to get, what, $400,000 out of a $1 million estate left by this dead Nazi, and essentially this old guy in Ohio was pretty well keeping an eye on it, but, you know, Zog wouldn't let Gillette have any of the money. That's why Gillette had, you know, felt he had to go ahead and rob banks here with nose candy. And, you know, Gillette was, you know, Gillette got kicked out because he was a drunken crackhead. And here, you know, here you have about a dozen quitters, and, you know, there's four of them in blue shirts, Aryan Nation shirts. One of them looks just like a nigger. You know, Jeremy Parker, yeah. He looks like a beaner of some sort. You know, he's sort of like Visser, another Anglo Mestizo. And so essentially you have a nigger and a beaner, and then of the rest here, you have some fat skinheads who are in their, what, 30s, and they're already gone to fat. And essentially you have a bunch of, you know, a crowd of wiggers and mamsers and niggers pretend to be Aryan Nation. And it's such yeah. a it's such a tarred corral that even the anti-racist activists don't have more than maybe a dozen or two facing them here. And you have about, oh, you know, I mean, from what I get, it was a pathetic excuse. It was a pathetic excuse. And Anchorage activists went ahead and said, well, do we really need to go ahead and hold a rally showing how pathetic and stupid we are? And the answer is, I don't think, you know, what good does it do? I mean, I've seen these Boer South African women, and they all want to take Paul out of the Bible because he says that they're to remain silent in church, and they do all sorts of stupid shit.
Those usually like feminazis or feminists, or, you know, because they can't handle it all throughout the Old Testament. See, a lot of these women also, they want to say, well, the reason that Yeshua picked 12 male apostles is back then that was old fashioned, but if he had to do over again, at least half of those apostles were women. And then a lot of.
Can you believe that? I mean, look, it's not just Paul. Why don't you take Genesis Bible? Because essentially it goes ahead in Genesis 3:14.
Says
a woman's going to be under the husband.
Linda Classen wanted to tell me that Adam fucked everything up and that Eve was totally innocent. She didn't do anything wrong. I mean, all she is, and you know what I wrote? I'll send you the emails. She said that she, basically, I told her, I said, all you are is a bitter old woman that hates men and you hate racial purity. And basically, I'm only supposed to kill the lost sheep of the house of Israel anyway. It's pretty obvious that you don't act pure white, that you've got to be a Mongol or Jew yourself. And she wanted to tell me that God loves everybody and that this racial stuff is not in the Bible. And
well, then why did you go ahead? What happens? You have these old skanks, and what happens is that they foot in the grave. You know, they're not going to find anything to mess with them. And essentially, they want to play racist for a day here. And essentially, when you pretty well told her you weren't interested in her, you was interested in a woman more your age. I mean,
yeah.
And, you know, you weren't going to go ahead and take her out of Jew Jersey or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, she just pretty well turned on you. And, okay.
There you go.
Whatever. Wow. I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, my position was that Russ was, you know, Russ was going ahead and chewing on her ass about how she was damned because she was married to a Jew and squeezed out two Jew
yeah.
kids. And, you know, pretty well, I was in the position if she was repentant for what she did.
I thought she was, but I really thought she was repentant. She had me fooled until I went up there to New Jersey, and I kept on saying, well, basically, I said, you know, when I got to New Jersey, if she admit, because I said, well, you basically haven't seen your kids or your daughter in 6 months or a year, right? She says, no, I see my daughter all the time. She lied to me over the phone, okay?
Well,
and
I don't know. What'd you expect? I mean,
she tried to get my sympathy saying that there weren't a lot of whites up there and there was all these minorities and all these niggers and everything and they're blah, blah, blah. You know what? I don't even know if she's pure white. She can't blush. I didn't see her blush. And she hates her own family, okay? If she wants
her white family. Her white family, right?
Yeah. Why would she hate all her cousins and her brother? Why would she hate them?
Because her brother probably didn't much care for her marrying a fucking Jew. You know what I mean? He probably
yeah,
made it.
But I'm saying she cares more about her Jew kids than her own brother. That don't make any. I mean,
well, I don't doubt she likes her spawn here. I mean, these Jews are half her, but, you know, essentially probably her brother, you know, probably made it quite clear is that, you know, damn, I don't want you marrying a damn kike. You know what I mean? And probably her brother, you know, made it quite clear.
I feel sorry for her.
Huh?
She got in a divorce. She probably got $500,000 in the divorce, and she partied and blew it all.
Yeah, she blew it. I mean, hell, my sister's the same way. My brother, now they got this fat bitch here, is the same damn way, to where essentially she gets $13,000 here, and here she is, probably engaged in Medicare fraud, you know what I mean, claiming that she doesn't know who the father of her kid is, and essentially here she engaged in Medicare fraud, and what happens, she gets $13,000 from her dead dad, and she goes ahead and blows it on a freaking Hummer. And here's my brother trying to sell me the damn Tahoe that he has for $5,000. I said, well, I'll give you $1,000 for it. You know, I guess I'd like sort of like a big car. You know, I wouldn't mind having a big car. He said, no, that's, you know, that couldn't even buy the damn wheels. I said, well, why do you want to have a bunch of fancy wheels tricked out like a nigger mobile and essentially $1,000 for a freaking, for freaking wheels? I've never paid $1,000 for a damn vehicle in my life. You know, this will be the first time I ever paid $1,000. I've never bought, you know, and much less pay $1,000 for freaking wheels. You got to be shitting me. You know, they are nice-looking wheels, but hell, that just means they have more expensive tires. What's wrong with just plain steel, 16-inch tires or 15-inch steel tires, you know? I mean, if it's 16-inch, the tires are cheaper. You know what I mean? You go ahead and buy you some cheap Douglas. As long as you don't go ahead and, you know, overweigh it here, especially on the SUV. Of course, you know, unless you have 5 or 6 kids, what the fuck you need an SUV for? But anyway, you know, he says, well, that's $1,000. I said, you paid, you know, so I go ahead and get the mail and said, how much you didn't pay for it? $13,000? I said, shoot, gas is close to $4 a gallon. It's probably going to reach $5 or $6 a gallon. And, you know, the only way you're going to go ahead and be able to get something out of it if you sell it for scrap here. It is, you know, that them damn Hummers are pretty, you know, pretty damn big here, a lot even bigger than that Tahoe. So I essentially said, shoot, you know, I said, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to try to go ahead and pay and steal from my mother, you know, in order to go ahead and pay for the gas for this damn thing here. You know, you just don't know how to control your damn hippo. You know, I mean, I've called her a damn hippo here for about a couple months now. She got all pissy here, and she wanted to cut down a walnut tree. And I told her that, you know, shit, you cut down that walnut tree, you pay out $750 because this place is half mine here. You know, and I want you cutting down this walnut tree because it gives big nuts here, 3 times the size of walnuts here on a normal tree. I don't know if it's a hybrid tree or not, but it gives out big nuts, big walnuts. And essentially, she was trying to screech him to cut down the tree because she was mad at me. And I said, you stupid bitch. Why the hell do you want to go ahead and tear, you know, cut down a perfectly good tree because you're mad at me? You know? And, anyway, she got, well, why are you? I've always liked you. I said, no, you aren't, bitch. You never liked me. I've never liked you. You've always been talking shit about me. Call me a child molester and all this sort of shit. You know, I said, mad hippo, mad hippo, mad hippo. And, you know, so I said, control your hippo here. I'm going to, instead of calling you Piglet and, you know, her Piglet's bitch, I'm going to start calling you Piglet's bitch's meerkat. And anyway, what happens is she got tired of being called a raven hippo, and she went ahead and took baby Piglet into the house, you know, into the trailer house here. You know what I mean? So then, you know, he wanted me to do something for him. So anyway, and part of the reason here is that her and him do not get along. He goes out to the farm to avoid the bitch. He goes ahead and goes up South Dakota to avoid the bitch. He's like, you know, and essentially I went ahead and told him right to her face one time. You know, I said, look, I wish you would stop to yap at me when you got that bitch with you here, because usually it turns out pretty nasty here. You know, she's all, oh, you want to talk to that child molester? I said, look, you stupid, you know, bitch here. You know, I said, you know, look, Pink, you listen to that bitch here. What happens is that you all listen to your good friend Ralph, you know, who's Roxy's brother. You all listen to Ralph. By the way, anybody who names a kid Ralph is dooming them to a life of assholery. That's what this Jewish, you know, Erica, Jong or something like that for Fear of Flying went in and wrote. She's a lot of Jewish, but she is right. You know, I think anybody who names their kid Ralph is dooming him to a life of being an asshole. But in any case, Ralph went ahead and told me that people ought to go ahead and essentially just go ahead and separate from Mad Hit and just pay, you know, just pay $150 a month, you know, pay $150 a month in child support, you know, to the bitch, and you know, simply go ahead and separate himself and go up to South Dakota and find him some new pussy. You know what I mean? There's plenty of pussy up in South Dakota. You know what I mean? Go ahead and find him some Swedish farm girl pussy, you know, big tits. That's what he needs to do here. But anyway, I told him that here. And then the bitch started screaming and hollering here. So I said, Mad Hippo. So then, you know, Pigo went ahead and she was getting all huffy. So he went ahead and drove back. They came back and I told him a story about this. This guy got tired of this bitch here. So he went ahead and killed his 10-year-old kid. He was in the room next to me at the nut house. And he was crying every night about killing his kid here. But, that's how this shit started, because this bitch he was married to was going to go ahead and call him a child molester and go ahead and get a divorce and take his kid. And he just freaked out and damn near killed the bitch and, you know, killed his 10-year-old kid. And he was crying not over the bitch, he was crying over the kid here. And I said, look, you ought to have more sense here than that nut here who's crying every night here, you know, every night over killing his kid here. So, you know, what happens is that, oh, he spent 3 months in the nut house and he got Dean Thompson stand trial. So he pled guilty and, you know, second-degree murder and got 10 or 15 years, I forget which. He's a nice guy, though, other than freaking out and killing the bitch and killing his kid. But anyway, so.
I'll tell you what, it's getting kind of late.
Yeah, I'll let you go. I'll let you go, and we'll talk about it for the last section.
It's been a great show, though. I mean, I'm really surprised that I'm not surprised, but Linda and Nubstuff and all these people, all they're doing is showing basically their true colors.
Well, they're showing their ass. They're showing their ass. I mean, that's all they have to show anyway. I mean, you know, look, I went ahead and looked at this avatar from 2008 from a YouTube channel. Now, I don't see how anybody could think that Jeremy Visser is white. You know what I mean? He looks like a freaking Indian. You know what I mean? He may look like a high yellow Indian, but he's an Indian, huh?
First time I saw him, I knew he was a mongrel. And you know what? Basically, from what I've heard about Scott Vaughn, I mean, I've met him, but from what I've heard, the first time everybody's laid eyes on him, they knew he was a mongrel. I try to tell Russ, I try to tell Keith about clips me my eyes, or he don't want to believe it, so that's fine. These people don't believe it.
Yeah, well, hell, I mean, it's sort of like, remember Russ about, 4 or 5 months ago? I can't believe, Brother Nathaniel, that you're a Jew. And then Brother Nathaniel goes ahead and writes him an email saying, well, 3 out of my 4 grandparents were Jews, and the one who wasn't a full-blood Jew was a half-Jew. So, yeah, I'm a Jew. And then old Russ, old Russ is a little bit abashed here. He just pretty well just stepped on his own dick here. So basically, he went ahead, ooh. I mean, he doesn't have anything to say to Brother Nathaniel when Brother Nathaniel Kapner says, yeah, I'm a Jew. What can Russell say to that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and
nothing. I seen that email. Maybe I should have saved it because this was a Russell for a moment. You know what I mean? This was a Russell for a moment. Anyway, I'll let you go. Huh?
Every time he calls, it gives a progress report. And, you know, but anyway, I'm not going to give Russ a hard time. I'll let him, I'm just going to face.
No, I love Russ. I love Russ. He's a Christian brother, but sometimes he's such a fucktard. You know what I mean? Right?
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, hail victory.
Hail victory. I'll let you go, and it was a good show.
Okay. Hail victory. All right, folks. We're going to go ahead and have at least about 4 or 5 minute break, folks. Hail victory. Okay, folks, we're back. Hopefully you can go ahead and hear me. Let's see. I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit. Someone was going ahead and saying about how pretty well the Jew and the Mamzer are a curse to us. Folks, yes, they are a curse to the Uyghurs. Let's go ahead and look in the Bible. It's time for a little bit of biblical teaching. I'm going to go ahead and end this show on a little bit of biblical teaching. From Deuteronomy chapter 28, because this was what was brought up. This was sort of brought up, someone went ahead and said that the Mamzer and Jew are a curse to us. And the answer is that, yes, they are. They're a curse, which was brought about because we will not obey Yahweh, because we're smarter than Yahweh. We're smarter than Yahweh's law. We're above it, or so we like to think. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. It shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Folks, we did that. We used to be a far better people than what we were. We were a Christian nation. Now we end up having the Indians, and we allowed the Jews among us, and it was time for us to get our birthright. Promised to Abraham, promised to Isaac, promised to Jacob, Israel, promised again to us in Moses' day. In Deuteronomy 28, is one of the five books of Moses in the Bible. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. 3, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Verse 4, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of the ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of your cattle, and the flocks of your sheep. Verse 5, blessed shall be your basket and your store. Verse 6, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Verse 7, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. In short, they'll come up against you in a mob, and they will scatter at least seven smaller mobs. They'll go ahead and meet you and flee from you. Verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses, in all that you set your hand unto, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. The Lord has been generous to me, where essentially, with my standard of living, I'm able to pretty well eat, have enough to eat. I have my grandchildren, would have enough for them to eat without having to go ahead and worry about what may come. Verse 9, the Lord shall establish you a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. We're to be a holy people, and we are to understand that. And if we are, since we are, and if we act accordingly, we shall be blessed. It says, verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. When we were a Christian nation, when we minded our own business, when we didn't go ahead and help the spawn of Satan, and nose into the affairs of foreign countries that we had no part of, no business of. Well, we kept to ourselves and minded our own business. And we were a Christian nation. Yes. Others from afar off did notice and did fear us. They didn't want to mess with us. Because we went ahead and we had enough sense not to mess with them. We minded our own business. Verse 11, the Lord shall make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give you. And so Yahweh did. We had got our blessings. Verse 12, the Lord shall open to you his good treasures, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in a season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. Folks, that's indeed what we used to do. We used to go ahead and lend, and they didn't borrow. They borrowed. We were a creditor nation until the wonderful Ronald Reagan decided. And folks, I go ahead and I look, and I was wrong from what I used to believe. Jimmy Carter was actually a pretty good president. He went ahead and set all the things in place, but folks, he got blamed for inflation. He got blamed for what was going on, and Ronald Reagan took the credit. And rather than pay the bills as they came due, like Carter did, what Reagan did is he borrowed. And in the first four years of his term, we went from being the world's biggest creditor nation to the world's biggest debtor nation. Whenever you have Republicans talking about Ronald Reagan, how great he was, well, folks, Ronald Reagan was a fraud. In the last half of his term, he was senile. Old Nancy with her astrologers and Bushy, you know, Bushy the first went ahead and pretty well ran the store. Not Ronald Reagan. Verse 13, and the Lord shall make you the head, not the tail. Well, not like today. We're essentially now, we're the tail that is wagged by the Jew dog. And you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath. If you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. Folks, we were to be the rulers. We were to be above, and now everyone else was to be under our feet. What's changed? Verse 14, and you shall not go aside from any of the worlds which I command thee this day, to the right hand, to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Folks, we go after other gods, and the main God we go after is ourselves. We worship ourselves. We don't worship Yahweh. We don't worship Christ. We worship ourselves. And thus our world has changed, hasn't it? Now we have change. Verse 15. 14 words, 14 verses of blessing. Now, what happens, we're going to have in the rest of the chapter better than twice as much curses, because essentially that seems to be where we were headed even back 3,450 years ago, around 1451 more or less. Verse 15, and it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and statutes, which I command thee this day, that, you know, the burden which is easy and the yoke which is light, that Jesus Christ said, that his law, that Yahweh's law was, that all these curses shall come down upon you and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Folks, our land is polluted. And our cities is polluted with the worst evil vermin that's not us. and that for all practical purposes, what we should have done a long time ago is wall off and starve to death and then go ahead and machine gun down the rest of the vermin that was in these cities. Call them shitties is what they are. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Folks, that seems to be exactly what's happening. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Yeah, that's what's happening. Verse 20, the Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, rebuke, and all that you set your hand to do, until you be destroyed, until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, whereby thou forsaken me. Seems like that's happening. Verse 21, the Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto you until he has consumed you from off the land whither you go to possess it. Verse 22, the Lord shall smite you with consumption and with fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning and with a sword and with the blasting with mildew. And you shall, and they shall pursue you until you perish. More and more diseases brought by the sub-animal pretense for humans. More and more disease brought by these evil creatures that we allow, that you have brought upon us. Verse 23, particular. This last past summer. And thy heaven that is over your head shall be brass, and the earth that is underneath you shall be iron. Folks, that's what I see in southwest Missouri. You had the worst drought I ever seen here. 2 months without hardly any rain. Verse 24, the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee, until you be destroyed. Verse 25. The Lord shall cause you to be smitten before your enemies. Thou shalt go one way against them, and shall flee 7 ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Well, folks, our army is into all the kingdoms of the earth. If they want to gather, they're getting their asses whooped. They're going ahead and pretending that their enemies are their friends, and then their so-called friends that they're training goes ahead and does what's called green on blue, NATO blue, Jew blue violence. Green on Jew blue violence, boo-hoo-hoo. Verse 26, and your carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the earth, and no man shall shall essentially scare them away, fray them away. Verse 27, the Lord will smite you with the botch of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof you cannot be healed. Hey, Quakers, got shingles? Verse 24, the Lord shall smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Verse 29, you shall grope at the midday as the blind gropeth in the darkness, and you shall not prosper in thy ways, and you shall be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Folks, our Zog Babylon is oppressing us. A bunch of Jews and treasonous Wiggers oppress us. They steal our children. They try to send us to prison, put us in nut houses, torture us, drug us. Do whatever the hell they want to. And Yahweh allows it. Because Yahweh wants to teach you a lesson, Wiggers. Verse 30, you shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. You shall build a house, and shall not dwell therein. Shall plant a vineyard, and shall not gather the grapes thereof. Yep. Crony capitalism. Thank you, Mittens. Verse 31, your ox shall be slain before your eyes, and you shall not eat thereof. Your ass shall be violently taken away before thy face here. Can you say nigger carjacking? and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given to your enemies, and you shall have none to rescue them. What happens when police force is a bunch of Uyghurs and Anglo-Mestizos that hate you? What happens then? Well, what says it's going to happen? Verse 32, your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in your hand. Well, folks, that happened to me. Grandsons, my granddaughter, taken, bought and sold. Just like this Uyghur who has this kid taken away from him to be bought and sold by evildoers who need to die. His entire family needs to die for raising up these traitors and these Mamzers and these regime criminals among us. Verse 33, the fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which you knowest not eat up, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed always. Folks, pretty well everything off the top is given to the Chinks and the Jews, a people we know not, and we should have nothing to do with. But hey, got to make sure the Chinks go ahead and build a new industrial civil, you know, new industrial might. That the Jews should go ahead and not be destroyed from stealing the property that we went ahead and allowed them to steal. Verse 34, so that you shall be mad for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. Everything you see will be a madhouse. Everything you see will be upside down. Everything you see will be topsy-turvy. Verse 35, the Lord shall smite you in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. Verse 36, the Lord shall bring you and your king, which you set over you, into a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you shall serve other gods, wood and stone. Folks, we are hurry to go ahead. Our king is not our king. He's a foreign nigger. He's a foreign nigger, but hey, look, Mittens, Shittens Romney is such a, you know, such an idiotic, worthless, you know, ass-licking corporate cocksucker that essentially here our king is a nigger. A nigger who ain't even a United States citizen. What the fuck? Well, guess what? Yeah, I always said that happened. Verse 37. Yep. And you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead you. The rest of the world thinks we've just gone nuts. The rest of the world thinks we are total, get altogether fucked up. And they're right. Verse 38, you shall carry much seed out in the field, and shall gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Verse 39, you shall plant vineyards and dress them, but neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but you shall not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive has cast its fruit. Even the trees decide they will not feed you. Verse 41. You shall beget sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Again, what has already been said in a previous verse. All thy trees and fruit of thy land shall the locust consume. The stranger, the racial alien that is within you shall set up above thee very high, and you shall come down very low. The nigger, the manzer, the beaner, the nigger, the beaner, the gook, they shall be put up very, very high above you, and you shall be brought very, very, very low. That's the main scripture. I wanted to go ahead and bring this, but essentially the entire book of Deuteronomy 28 is what's happening now. Verse 44, he shall lend to thee, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. Yep, we're the tail of the Jew boy. We have to go ahead and make sure that niggers who are uneducated, you know, unable to be even trained, have the highest of public schools. We need to pay taxes to the niggers. We need to go ahead and take care of the niggers and the beaners with Obongo care. And essentially, stupid old Whiggers who went ahead and let this thing happen are going to go ahead and have their Medicaid and Medicare cut. Verse 45, moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and the statutes which he commanded thee. Verse 46, and they shall be upon thee. They shall be upon thee for a sign, for a wonder, upon your seed forever. Because you serve not the Lord thy God with the joyfulness and the gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Verse 48, wherefore you shall serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against you, in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness, and in want, for all things. And ye shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he has destroyed you. Verse 49, then the Lord shall bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruits of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until you be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of your kind, or the flocks of your sheep, until he has destroyed you. Verse 52, and he shall besiege you in all your gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest. Throughout all thy land he shall besiege you in thy gates, throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given you. Folks, these beaners don't give a crap that we are able to invade the Afghans, or we have no business being. All these shit-colored mamsers come in. Do they care about our police? Do they care about our soldiers where we have invaded them? Robert Friends used to go ahead and laugh about how we, you know, the Zoglings, the Whiggers, are being invaded by the Beaners. So what do? We invade Iraq. We invaded Afghanistan. And we get our asses whipped over there, and we come back. And essentially, there's no money, and the Jews are printing up currency like crazy. And this is how bad it's going to get. It gets even worse. 53, and you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters, which the Lord thy God has given you, in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress you. Folks, we are eating the wherewithal of our sons and our daughters. You've gone ahead and made them into debt slaves. You've gone ahead and made it to where, in order for them to survive, to get a job, which used to be held by a college dropout here, we've gone ahead and essentially eaten their flesh, eaten all the days of their lives here, by going ahead and fostering the Jew banksters. Folks, this quantitative easing is nothing more than printing up money to go ahead and prop up the worthless mortgages of these banksters. Wouldn't it be better if they just simply printed the money out and gave it to white families to pay off the fucking mortgages? Why go ahead and give it to Jew banks to go ahead and pay off their indoor gambling? Why not? If you're going to go ahead and worry about the mortgages, why not just simply pay the fucking mortgage off? And then tell the white people to go ahead and pay rent on the mortgage, and if they have a job, fine, they can do so. If they don't have a job, they can live without paying the mortgage off. That's another expense they don't have to go ahead and meet. And then if they sell their property, well, essentially, you go ahead, the government goes ahead and gets it. But no, they don't intend to do that. Chapter and verse, I was, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 53. Verse 54. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. Folks, that's happened to me. Verse 54, so that he shall not give any of them of the flesh of his children which he shall eat, because he has nothing left in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. Folks, the enemies are within the gates. The enemies, the Jews, the Mamzers, the Niggers, the Uyghur race traders. Verse 56 of Deuteronomy chapter 28. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for the delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter. Verse 56, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet and toward her children which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the siege and straitness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. Folks, it's going to lead to cannibalism. Uyghurs eating, little Uyghurs. Wives eating husbands. Husbands eating brothers. 58. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law, which are written in this book, that thou may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Learn to fear and love and worship Yahweh and Yahweh's laws. Failure to do that will lead to cursing. Verse 59. Then the Lord shall make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Verse 60. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, all the plagues of Egypt, which you were afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Verse 61, and every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until you be destroyed. Verse 62, and you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. Folks, one time, we were numerous, and now we have been displaced by the Uyghur, now more and more and more by the Beaner, and we have become few in this land of ours because we were given a birthright which we were not worthy of. Verse 63, and it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoices over you to do good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land whither you go to possess it. Verse 64, and the Lord shall scatter you among all people from one end of the earth even to the other, and there shall you serve other gods which neither you nor your father have known, even wood and stone. It repeats itself from earlier in chapter 28 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28, verse 65. And among those nations you shall find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest, but the Lord shall give you there a trembling heart and a failing of eyes and a sorrow of the mind. Verse 66. And your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear day and night, and you shall have none assurance of your life. You will not feel safe. You will not be safe. Verse 67, in the morning you shall say, would God, for it were evening time. And at evening time you would say, would God, it were morning. For the fear of your heart wherewith you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes that you will see. You'll go ahead and wish it was night in the morning. And you shall wish it was the morning in the night because of what you will see, the horrors that you shall see. in real life. You'll go ahead and say, Lord, make it a dream. As you ride your last rail down. Sort of like the Harry Chapin song. 68, the Lord shall bring you into Egypt again with ships by way whereof I spoke of thee. You shall see it no more again, and there you shall be sold into your enemies for bondsmen and bondswomen, and no man shall buy you. You'll be a slave that's not even worth the price of dog meat. Folks, you will be the servant of Satan because you cannot go ahead and behave yourself. Now, let's see, how much time I have left? I have about 15 minutes. Let's see. These curses happen time after time after time again. It says in the margins, 1451. Let's go to the book of Judges. In the book of Judges, 50 years afterwards, 50 years afterwards, look at Judges. Go ahead and read. Where here are the children of Israel, and they didn't go ahead and slay the Canaanites among them. You go to the book of Judges. Says, now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass, the children of Israel asked for the Lord, saying, who shall go up, for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. And it said that Judah went up along with Simeon, with Judah, and they fought the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And they went ahead and destroyed a number of people. And here comes Caleb in chapter 1 of Judges. He goes ahead and fights these giants. So, went ahead and initially they went ahead and destroyed these Canaanites. But not all of them. Not all of them. It says in the last book here that neither did Manasseh drive up the inhabitants of Beth-Shean or town, nor Taanach and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Ibleam and her towns, this is verse 27 of Judges chapter 1, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo / Kadesh and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. They went and took a payoff from the Canaanites, didn't drive them out. Near did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer. Near did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron, nor another town. Near did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko or the inhabitants of Zidon. Or Aphlab, or Azab. But they dwelt among the Canaanites, and the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Near to Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, nor the inhabitants of Beth Anath. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, for they would not suffer them to come into the valleys. What happens is that the Amorites, against the tribe of Dan, wouldn't even let the tribe of Dan go ahead and bring them to tribute. They went ahead and drove them into the hills, the less fertile hills. Wouldn't even let them into the valleys where the soil was better. But the Amorites would dwell in the Mount Herez yet the hand of the house of Joseph prevailed so that they became tributaries. And the coast of the Amorites was from the going up of Acrabbim from the rock and upward. Folks, these blonde, blue-eyed, relatively smaller-nosed Jewboy Canaanites, the Amorites. Why, hey, they prevailed in some cases. In our cases, they were made to serve tribute. And, you know, verse chapter 2 of Judges. An angel of the Lord came from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I made you go up out of Egypt, and I brought you into the land which I swore your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you. Well, folks, this was a two-side covenant of blessings if you were obedient and destroyed these Canaanites. And of curses if you were disobedient and idolatrous and did not destroy them. Verse 2, and make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars. You have not obeyed my voice. Why have you not done this? Verse 3, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare to you. Verse 4, and it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spoke these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept, and called the place, the name of the place, Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. So folks, you'd end up having, in the book of Judges, you hear to where these Midianites, these Canaanites, these other people go ahead and oppress the Uyghurs. When the Uyghurs are driven to the hills, just like in the days of Gideon, they plead and they beg aloud, and Yahweh brought to them the Savior. And these Saviors were the various judges. And it went on till the time of Samuel, when they demanded a king, and they got Saul. And Saul initially went ahead and dealt with Philistines. And later, here comes David. Folks, by this time, it's not so much that the Canaanites are an independent people other than the Philistines, who are not Canaanites, but who were white people. But by this time, the Canaanites were already within the gates. They were already within the bloodlines of Israel. Same thing has happened today. This time, there's not 3,400 years passed, but rather the time is now, where essentially the Uyghurs are fewer and fewer and fewer. And Zog Babylon, the third and the final, is all-encompassing. And the soul of that shall be, that our salvation will be this great tribulation. For there shall be a reaping, and the tares will be harvested in this great tribulation. And so will we as the wheat. So folks, I wanted to go ahead and point out that essentially Uyghurdom happened 3,400 years ago. It's happening today. But folks, we are in the end times, and we need to act accordingly. We need to go ahead and have enough understanding that no man's going to save us, no Uyghur's going to save us, no Jew boy's going to save us, no Mams is going to save us. We need to go ahead and put ourselves from among Babylon and come out of her and pretty well avoid Baal priests and Jew boys and liars. We need to go ahead and obey Yahweh. Obey Yahweh's commands. And we need to pray that we should make it, and our children too. What we need to do is we need to go ahead and get right with Yahweh, and that's the very first thing we need to do. Second thing we need to do is to go ahead and figure out among our brothers and sisters as to which ones are worthy for us to take with us and for us to go ahead and survive. Third of all, we need to go ahead and wait. Not involved in stupid schemes to go ahead and bring back by our own efforts Yahweh's kingdom. Essentially to watch and to wait and to prepare. Then when Jesus Christ is ready to return, then we rise up as soldiers. And we go ahead and reap
within ourselves, then we worry about the enemy who's without us. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. I think I pretty well covered the thing on my MP3 player. Okay, folks, I got hung up again. I think it was my own fault. But anyway, I was pretty well covered to the end of the MP3 player. I think I pretty well covered what I wanted to cover tonight. So I'm going to go ahead and call it a night. So anyway, I'll see you all Thursday. And there wasn't much going on in the movement. At all. I mean, essentially, well, you know, the Jeremy Visser's brother, Sean Aaron Visser, is a Mamzer, the Jeremy Visser is a Mamzer. You know, that really wasn't news here at all. I mean, shoot, go ahead and look at a video of Visser from October of 2008. Heck, the critter, you know, the critter was, from what I gather, addicted to meth here. And you go ahead and see it's, you know, see its face here. It looks sort of like, it looks more like, it sort of looks like a pen. Well, Visser does. He sort of looks like a dark-skinned, high-cheekboned, you know, and essentially the meth didn't help, you know, the meth, you can go ahead and tell that he's using meth here. Anybody who's been around meth heads can tell a meth goober. Essentially, that's what Visser is. He's just a criminal, you know, Mamzer, Melungeon, pisser possum with a bad drug habit. You know, and I'm not talking about pot. I'm talking about meth. And essentially, that was what the word out in the street was in September 2009. And when Visser's claiming feds are kicking in his door and then blaming Mark Linson just like he used to blame Sci-Fi Faber, bullshit. Bullshit. Essentially, he's just a meth goober. And essentially, just like Liability Clueless, he went ahead and turned Zogbot. Started going ahead and getting a bunch of money when he didn't used to have money for a web page, for a V-Bulletin software. Essentially, he had a bunch of money to go ahead and pretend to be something that he wasn't. So we went ahead and ran wild for about another year. Every so often, we'd get in trouble. He'd disappear. Then he'd come back. And then late August, here he is. Running from Washington State back to Georgia. And he gets, you know, put in jail for 3 weeks on a stalking charge. And gets out of stalking charge and says, I'm not white supremacist, I'm not Aryan Nations, I'm not this, I'm not that. Look at my brother. Look at me. We're not white. And essentially that was pretty well, by going ahead and saying that, the suspicions should have been over. Visser is a Mamzer. Leave it at that. Okay? So, in case, folks, it is time to go ahead and call it a night. On AMC, they're playing Deliverance again. I remember Richard Thatcher saying that he was going to arrest the president on the Deliverance Party. You know, back when you had Reverend Dr. Robert Millar and his three old ladies and his big old green El Dorado Cadillac. I was trying to tell Richard Thatcher of Thatcher's Thunder that calling himself the Deliverance Party was not exactly a good political or public relations move. It's just that when they think Deliverance Party, they think Deliverance. They think, oh, no teeth hillbillies who are sodomizing one another and playing on the banjo or something. Yeah, I said that was not, you know, and judging with the bunch that you come up from Elohim City, that's not exactly a good movie, political move, but he didn't listen to me at all. But he's a nice guy, Richard was. But anyway, let's see here. Well, maybe that's a good thing here. Yeah. What happens is that the media is freaking out by Wiggers going ahead and remember the Clint Eastwood thing at the Republican National Convention where he goes ahead and talks to a chair which supposedly has an invisible nigger in it here? Well, what happens is some guy got in trouble for lynching a lawn chair. And then what happens, he backed out when the Secret Service came by. Now, if I did that, if I had a YouTube account here, you know, which I was willing to go ahead and be banned from, you know, I'd probably go ahead and lynch a lawn chair and then go ahead and look at this big old overstressed sofa and say, Mittens, you're next! You're next, Mittens! It's over on Stubblehead about this guy lynching a lawn chair. So, we'll have to find me a sofa here and say, Mittens, you're next after I finish lynching this lawn chair. But you have Secret Service going after people who essentially are lynching lawn chairs. they hung it from a noose from a tree. You know, the Secret Service goes out, the wigger goes ahead and backs down here. He ain't racist. So what happens is after I lynch the lawn chair here on a YouTube video here, you know, for my gal, YouTube pulled the video too here. Went ahead and banned the guy here. And I don't know if I want to be that here, but, you know, what happens after I lynch a lawn chair, go ahead and have a overstressed sofa here, or at least a bark alarms or a lazy boy, and say, Mittens, you're next. This is a piece of shit too here. You know, I got to gloat here about how Mittens, it looks like Mittens has lost the freaking election already. It's sort of like in 1996 where Saturday Night Live now has Obongo claiming that he has a secret weapon for his campaign, and he goes ahead and shows old Mittens yapping cluelessly about some stupid shit. And the thing about it is, Mittens, every time I see old Mittens, Mittens reminds me of somebody who you just not quite caught masturbating in secret. And old Mittens just has a good Lord, deer in the headlights look like you just caught him nearly masturbating, but he managed to go ahead and just escape it by that much here, like Maxwell Smart, and guess, you know, like Maxwell Smart would say, by that much here. You know, less than what, an eighth of an inch or so. You know, I mean, Mittens is a total tard. It looks like this freaking nigger's gonna win. So, you know, win the election here, Mittens don't have the ball to say, look, you're just a foreign born nigger. You're not even an American citizen. And, folks, this is where, you know, essentially this is where things are going to come about here. Don't worry about the nigger beating Mittens. Mittens is not your friend. Mittens is a piece of shit who essentially is owned by corporate America, the Jews. If Mittens gets elected, if Mittens was to get elected, we'd probably have a war with Iran within a week. Just like we, you know, everybody who paid attention to Dumbia knew we would have a war with Iraq pretty soon. even though the lying bastard said he didn't believe in nation building, and that's all he did. Okay? Well, in any case, yeah, I'm doing a post-game show, I guess, here. Folks, I need to go ahead and, yeah. Well, folks, we end up having a pretty good, you know, I guess I'll go ahead and put this in, you know, pretty well I came to the end of my MP3 player, and I haven't had time to go ahead and do it. But, yeah, Mittens is the dead baby of deliverance to Obongo here. You know what I mean? If they did again, you know, they did again here, essentially some winger would be raped by a nigger here, or a beaner, or something like that here. Anyway, folks. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm going to go ahead and do call it a night. So, folks, hail victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.